You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hi, welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. We're at season 13, episode 31, first of 2024. So happy new year, everybody. Though for some, maybe not so happy new year, football-wise. But we've got the winter break. So we thought, why don't we get everyone together and chat about what's been happening, hopes for the rest of the season. Apart from Dundee. Dundee couldn't make it. And Celtic are joining us later on. So I shall introduce you all. Erin, how you doing? Aberdeen?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, aye. Andy, Elle, Rangers, how you doing?
Yeah, keeping well, John. Thank you for having me on.
Aye, good to have you back on. Laurie, come on, how you doing?
Good. Hope everyone had a happy new year as well.
Alan, St Mirren.
Yeah, I'm good, John. I think the reason Dundee couldn't make it was the pitch was waterlogged again. No shoot. Just heard that as a rumour on social media.
Aye, that's probably a safe bet for him, aye. Charlie Hibbs, how you doing?
I'm all right, mate. Last time I was on this podcast, I won a quiz, so I'm not sure I'll win anything tonight, but I'm doing good.
I don't think so. Alan St. Johnson, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me on again. Cheers. No like Dundee to postpone on at the last minute, so that's news that's happened again.
Getting good digs. Any that's Dundee that are getting more digs than Celtic, that's a bit unusual. Stephen Motherwell, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We finally got that win, so aye. Looking forward to the rest of the pod.
Right, good. Ross County, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, mate. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to slagging off the standard of Scottish football if it comes to that, so.
Aye, I was just wondering if you had any kind of statements to make on Scottish football or that.
Not yet. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Aye, okay, no worries. Anna Ash, returning from the quiz for Hearts, how you doing?
I'm well, how are you?
Aye, good. As I say, there'll be no kind of daft questions or no kind of difficult questions, so you'll be much easier tonight. Easier ride tonight. Ewan Livy, how you doing?
Not bad. You've managed to get the pre-mark of Livingston FC fans on, so enjoy that.
The pre-mark of Livingston fans?
Oh, yeah. Well, everything about us is pre-mark, isn't it? We shop in pre-mark. That's where all our players come from, apparently. Yeah, so might as well
Can Livy even afford pre-mark? I thought it was like even lower budget than that.
Ah, we can stretch that. There's money floating about. We can use the paper bag. We've had to get a really big paper bag this time round to get our 6'5" striker out. So, aye. This will be fun for me tonight. I can tell I'm going to get a ribbon.
Well, I'm pretty sure I. Right, okay, just for a bit of fun. I did say there would be no daft questions, but I'm going to go for it, right. So the darts was on recently, the World Championships. Some of you might have had this question before. Andy, what would be your darts walk-on music?
I don't really know. I think probably the obvious one, Simply the Best.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I've seen that one coming. That was a tap-in for you, right? Okay, Laurie?
I'll just stick with what I said on the quiz. I'll go for Stereophonics and Dakota is one that would work for a walk-on theme.
Right, okay.
Or we go on theme in my case, Andy Stevens.
That's quite short. Paper Roses was there in there, but never mind. Alan St Mirren, what would you go for?
An ironic Mr Brightside.
Good tune. Charlie, I did ask you this before in the quiz as well, but you might have changed your mind.
I've changed my mind. I'm going for Columbia by Oasis.
Oh, a good tune. Like it. Picture it. Alan St Johnson.
Great choice from Charlie, because I'm going to go for Fucking in the Bushes by Oasis. That's mine.
Good tune. A swear word of the 2024.
Aye, sorry about that. But unavoidable because of the song title.
I like a swear word, it's all right. Worth it. Content, Stephen, the old walk-on music. Or you can call it wee long music. I don't want to get.
I was going to say, I need to learn how to walk. I need to learn how to walk on first. But no,
walk on by Jerry and Pacemakers.
Nah, we'll stick with the cerebral palsy references, and I'll go with Born Slippy Underworld. There you go.
Right, okay. Erin?
Oh, I think Elton John, I'm Still Standing.
Right, okay. That's like quite ironic after what Stephen said, but...
I was going to say, I think that might be another reference.
No, it's actually a very good song.
It's a very good song, absolutely.
Ross, what about yourself?
I'm going to stick with that kind of Ross County theme. I'll go Black Eyed Peas. I Got a Feeling, because that was the theme song for the semi-final one against Celtic in 2010.
Right. No worries. Yeah, I said I'd ask you in the quiz, but you can change it if you want, or keep it with whatever it was before.
I'll stick to Mark Knopfler, Local Hero.
Aye, good tune. Good tune. Ewan, what would you go for?
I Am the One and Only, out of sheer arrogance, and then get absolutely humiliated up in the hockey.
The ideal, right? Talking of humiliations, Lovie and Nursery. I mean, that was brilliant. I mean, that was like,
it's what? Like, it's like I planned that.
Aye, like, until you do podcasts, right? Okay. Lovie, what's happening then? Is this the season that Lovie are going to go down?
Bluntly, yeah. I kind of, when I did the podcast at the start of the season, I had in my head that this was going to be our toughest season since being back up. Albeit, I think we were given maybe a tad of false hope. Started the season 3 defeats in 14 in all competitions. All those 3 defeats coming at the hands of 2 to Rangers, 1 to Celtic. So all looked fairly rosy. And I think after we beat Motherwell, we were sitting 5th or 6th in the league. So it looked okay. But after the October international break, we've essentially just fallen off a cliff. To put it bluntly, equaled a record that Aberdeen held from 1999 with most defeats on the bounce with no goals scored. I think that was 6. 3 goals scored in our last 13. It's dismal. It's absolutely dismal. And it's not even the fact we're no winning games. It's the standard of the performances that's probably the most concerning thing, to be honest. We don't look like scoring in vast majority of those games, albeit we had a decent performance up at Pittodrie and amongst that in the game against Hearts just before the break there. I thought we played pretty well and probably deserved a little bit more from the game other than a 15-minute spell after half-time. But yes, it's going to take a minor miracle, I think, for us to get out of this mess. I kind of always talk about it every season. If you get 10 wins on the board, you'll probably see yourself safe in the playoffs. We've won 2 games in 21. Can I realistically see us going and winning 7 or 8 games between now and the end of the season? Nah, I really can't. I just don't see where we're getting those results from. And when your manager's talking about shopping in Primark for players, I think that reduces your pool of players even more than what it would already when you're sitting bottom of the league. So, yeah, it's like every season we're tipped to go down, so it was a matter of time before we did have a season where we were going to struggle. But the only thing I can hope for is that we can at least stay in contact with the teams above us come the split, and then you're going into those kind of head-to-heads, those last 5 games of the season with a chance. But as I say, it's whether we can claw that gap back between now and the split. 2 games after the break are Ross County and Dundee, both at home. Must wins. It can't be anything less than 6 points, in my opinion, or else we're gone.
I think the situation's worse the fact, though, that the likes of Ross County, St Johnson, change of managers, whereas at the moment there's nothing new, nothing different from Livy. I know, like Martindale's been saying about performances have still been good, but I mean, surely not the case.
Nah, the performances haven't been good, and I'm one of Davey's biggest fans, and I've bigged him up quite a lot on multiple podcasts that I've done. But is there a point where it's got stale? And for me, it's not even just on this season. This stems back to February of last year for me, after we lost the cup game to Inverness. Since then, we've played 35 league games, won 5. We've got a 14% win rate. We've taken 23 points from a possible 105. Scored 21 goals in 35 games, conceded 58. It's pretty damning. And I think any manager, there's only probably 2 or 3 in Scottish football that would still be in a job with that sort of run of results. And one of them's Davey.
Anything optimistic about the season so far? Any kind of good points, like surprising, like player-wise, that's performed well or that?
The standout for us has been James Penrice, and I'd be absolutely stunned if a club, say the likes of Hibs, who have persisted with somebody like Louis Stevenson for over a decade, I would be stunned if Hibs didn't make a move for somebody like Penners. I think he's fantastic. He's genuinely brilliant, and he's he deserves to be in a better side this season. He's probably been the biggest highlight for us this year. Curtis Guthrie's had a little bit of a renaissance, and I mean, tells you the sort of state of affairs Aberdeen are in that he managed to score against you, because that was his first goal in 35 games. So he's, you know, living up to the expectations of being a Livy player and not just not scoring, essentially. But it's, there's very few positives to kind of pull out this season, but Penners would probably be the one highlighting amongst that, and I think he would deserve a really good move, even off the back of this season. I think he's top player, really good lad as well. I have a lot of time for Penners, so he's out of contract at the end of the season. So I'd be stunned if a club kind of level of likes our Hearts, Aberdeen, Hibs aren't looking at somebody like him.
Aye, the other one that's been linked to move away is Bruce Anderson to Killy, ain't he?
Yeah, Bruce has had a torrid time this season, but I think anyone that watches Bruce Anderson knows that his main game's being in and around the 18-yard box. And you look at his first season with us, he scored 13 goals over the course of the season, and that was with missing 2 months of the season. But he had Alan Forrest one side of him, and he had Odin Bailey the other. He had two out-and-out wingers who were getting to the byline, cutting balls back, and it was all kind of one-touch finishes, whilst the last couple of seasons, Bruce has been kind of playing off scraps, long balls. It's not his game. It's just not his game. It doesn't suit him. And this season in particular, I mean, scraps is being polite on what he's fed off of, to be brutally honest with you. But I'd be surprised if he went to Kilmarnock, not because it's Kilmarnock, because of who the manager is, because Derek McInnes really didn't fancy him at Aberdeen. And I think kind of questions his professionalism when he was at Aberdeen. So I'd be quite surprised if he ended up at Kilmarnock.
It could just be tabloid talk here. Laurie, you want to come in? I see.
Yeah, that's basically what I was about to say. The kind of rumours were that that was just kind of paper talk. There was chat that a pre-contract was on the table, but that has since been kind of debunked. I mean, personally, I wouldn't mind Bruce Anderson, but as you say, Ewan, considering he's worked with Derek McInnes before and perhaps he didn't see eye to eye, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, does it, for those two to link back up again?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if he went to Kilmarnock, if you give him the right service, and given he'd play with two out-and-out wide players, with Kennedy one side, Armstrong the other, I think he'd get goals for Kilmarnock. He'd get chances and he'd score goals. But as I say, I don't see that combination happening, given he's got history with the manager there. I don't see where that would materialise from, off that, unless he's had a massive change of heart and his opinion on him over that few years that they've had apart.
Talking about other strikers that are on the market, and a few of you have been linked with him, Curtis Main, right? So I think Kilmarnock could be linked with him. Would you take Curtis Main?
Personally, not really. I don't think he would suit us, to be honest. Maybe I'm being harsh on Curtis Main here, and maybe people can correct me, but I feel like he's your kind of typical kind of target man, nuisance striker. We've already got that in Vassell. We've got Innes Cameron coming back from injury sooner rather than later. Do we really need another one? Of course, he has worked with McInnes before, so that's something. Fair on his cap, I suppose.
Stephen?
I know, I just wanted to ask you, and what has been the issue with Joel Nubley this season? Because he's somebody that Davey was talking about in pre-season about potentially getting big money for, and I just feel as if he's been really quiet this year. Is there anything that you can put your finger on as a supporter that's maybe happened? Or?
Ah, he's been mint, Stephen.
That's the extent of it. He's been mint.
Nah, to be more kind of constructive with it with Joe, we've been playing a 3-4-2-1 this season, which Davey at the start of the season absolutely understand. He kind of, when he was on our podcast, he spoke about we conceded too many goals last year. I think it was 60 we conceded, which is the most since we've been back in the top flight. So can absolutely understand it from that point of view. However, I feel it's gone too far one way, and it's all focused that the approach that Davey seems to have now is it's all about stopping the opposition. He's always been slightly defensive minded, but it's very, very tailored to how the opposition play. Like, we'll change our shape and everything like that to accommodate the opposition. Probably the only game this season where we've gone after a team and tried to hurt them was Hibs when Lee Johnson at start of the season, and we targeted Hibs and Hibs on the right hand side and scored two goals from it.
I
It's the
mean,
one time we've gone and targeted a team. But with Joel Nubley in particular, I don't think the system suits him. He doesn't suit playing as a 10. He's not, for me, he can do the odd job here or there as a number nine, but Joel's at his absolute best when he's able to isolate a fullback, go 1v1 against a fullback, because he's an absolute powerhouse. He's so difficult to handle. And yeah, I just don't think the system suits him, Stephen. I think that's the best way of putting it. And the guy looks absolutely devoid of confidence just now, and he's getting put at right wing back by the
I
manager.
noticed that.
I
That
mean,
was bizarre.
yeah, how are you helping a player get a bit of form behind him when you're playing him so far out of position, so uncomfortable? It's, as I said, Martindale's had this approach all season, and it's like square pegs, round holes to fit a system that he wants to play, but he just doesn't have the players to play it, in my opinion. And he needs to make the game a lot more simple. He needs to tailor his approach to the players that he's got rather than what he thinks is needed to be more solid. And I honestly believe we've got a better group of players at our disposal than what our league position would suggest. I genuinely believe that. If we had a manager that decided to go a little bit more on the front foot and try and hurt teams rather than be so focused on what they're going to do to us, I genuinely think we'd get results in this league. But I think the manager's strangling us just now, and he's strangling players like Nubley as well as a result. That's kind of my viewpoint on it, a constructive viewpoint on it, rather than just saying he's been mint.
Charlie, you want to go in?
Hi, it was just more on the Martindale chat. What's your view as a Livi fan of him going on like BBC and stuff and saying, "Aye, this is the year we're going down." And then I've watched a few of the after match interviews on Livi Twitter, especially the one after they played us, and it seems like he's already defeated that yous are going down. I wonder, you as a fan and as a podcast host, like, what does that say to you? Is that giving you any confidence, or is it just like, "Aye, let's write the season off, let's go down and then build back up"?
To be fair, we had him on the podcast at the start of the season, and I think I said when I was on this podcast at the start of the season as well that his demeanour had changed a little bit at the tail end of last year, and his post-match interviews, it all started becoming quite negative and kind of that approach. We had him on, and he was right from the get-go was talking about, this season was always going to be a struggle, and I know it gets the piss ripped out of it, the budget chat as well, which even as a Livi fan is quite tiresome. We know fine well we've got the lowest budget. We don't need to be reminded of it all the time. And yeah, it's the aftermatch stuff, it's become a bit bingo. Like, he talks about entries into our box, dealing with entries into our box and all the time, and being solid. It's become quite tiresome, some of his post-match, to be honest. And as you say, it just kind of reeks negativity. And I think he's just got stuck in a rut of a way of thinking, and he can't get out of it. I kind of had a half thought. We brought Brian Rice in after the November international break, and I thought with Chipper coming in, just somebody with a bit of fresh ideas, it might help something. But I don't know if Chipper's too good a pal with Davey that he's maybe not just going, "Look, mate, what the fuck are we doing here?" essentially. And yeah, I think he, as I say, I think he's just kind of stuck in a rut in a way of thinking. I really do think he just needs to let the leash off a little bit. And John, Erin, you might have seen the game at Pittodrie. We played really well that night. And see, if we were performing to that level and maybe not winning games, I genuinely wouldn't be as fussed.
I was
Like,
worried that
at
night.
least we're having a little bit of a go, and at least we're causing teams problems and looking like we're trying to win games of football. The Hearts game's another example. But it's how negative it's been, how negative in general we're approaching games. And that's, for me, that's all set from the manager. I don't think the players are necessarily constantly going out in the park and trying wanting to play that way. I don't get that vibe. We've got better players than the style of football I think we play.
I was worried about that one because you hadn't scored a goal in like 2 months. Obviously, here you go. Welcome to Tottenham. There's a goal. But just
Yeah, I mean,
now.
I was stunned, stunned into silence. I think I forgot what to do, to be honest. It had been that long. You know the thing in Titanic that it's been 84 years. That's what it was starting to feel like watching us. But as I say, if we go down and we give it an absolute go and play to that sort of level, then at least you can sit at the end of the season and go, look, we gave it our best shot and we went down. Like, it was a matter of time. We were never going to survive years and years and years in this league with, the finances that we've got. It's every year you're losing your best players and it becomes incredibly difficult every year to replace them. But as long as we go down with a bit of fight and have a go and try and win some games of football between now and the end of the season, I wouldn't be as fussed. But there's going to be a major rebuild regardless next year because I think there's 14 or 15 players out of contract. So yeah, it's even if we do stay up, it's another very tough season, I think, in store the following year.
Alan St Mirren, you want to come in? No
Oh,
more.
it's me, St Johnson.
Alan St Johnson.
Just on again on Martindale unit, I was just obviously we apparently approached you for him to be our manager, which was not back. I was just going to ask, do you think that's contributed to Martindale's mood in any way? Do you think he would have been interested in, at least speaking to us? And then, I mean, you're suggesting that he's maybe stuck in a bit of a rut. He's obviously been at the club a long time. Do you think he does want a different challenge? I mean, it's not much of a upways move, obviously, to us, but do you think maybe he fancied that? He maybe wanted to at least speak to us and potentially change club.
My understanding is there was definitely an approach because Gus McPherson phoned the football club looking to speak to Davey. So my understanding is that's absolutely solid that St Johnstone were looking to appoint him as a manager. I think Davey's personally, I think Davey would have stayed at Livy regardless, but I also believe he was maybe he would always be interested in listening to what a club had to say, and that I think it would have taken quite a substantial offer for no disrespect to St Johnstone, but for St Johnstone
Oh,
to attract him
absolutely.
away from Livy, given what Livingston have given Martindale. So I think it would take quite a significant offer for Martindale to move on from the football club because they've essentially changed his life. So it's, but it does kind of coincide with when our drastic drop in forms come from.
That's what I was thinking.
It's
That
kind of off the
kind of
back of
time
that.
with that, yeah. Just from what you're saying with the figures earlier on, it does sort of align with that.
Yeah, it's sort of, who knows, maybe it is a coincidence. Maybe there is more kind of to that. But yeah, I think the manager's essentially come into the season a little bit kind of just a negative mindset to it. And I think
Do you think
it's all
there's no
distorting to
chance
this
of him
football club.
like getting sacked at all or leaving at all?
I don't see him getting sacked. I think it's a Levine at Hearts, but worse. This was always my concern when Martindale got the job was what if things turned sour? It all started off really rosy, 14 games unbeaten, reached the League Cup final, all started off fantastic. And I've always had the opinion, and I think again I've said it on this podcast, if we go down, I feel Martindale has enough credit in the bank that he would get a season in the Championship if he wants it to try and take us back out of it. I still have that belief. I do think he has enough credit in the bank to do that. But 14% win percentage in 35 league games, I mean, I think you can understand any fan questioning the manager's position on that run of form. And it's not even the run of form, it's the standard of performances that go with it. As I say, I know we're going to lose games of football in this league. I'm well aware of that. But there's a manner in how you lose games of football, in my opinion. And it's that negative mindset that's kind of almost set
Saying
above your
that, see though,
football
you and see the game we played against you, what, a couple of weeks ago now, like you should have won 1-0 in the last minute. Like that's an open goal. Like, see if that goes in,
club.
it really changes the table quite a bit. Like, it makes us a lot closer to you and it gives you a real boost. And it, like, you should have scored. I mean, it's a terrible game. I'm sure you agree with that.
Yeah.
But
Oh, it
like, an absolutely
was
honking game
awful.
from both sides. But you could have, you could easily have won that 1-0, and then it, you just kind of need a break like that, and things can change quite quick. I mean, look at the state of us when I was on this podcast. Like, it can change relatively quickly in this league, because the teams are all much of a muchness.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, we've not been getting hammered in games. We had been losing games by the odd goal, but all it takes is the odd goal when you're not threatening to score yourself. You know, the game at St Mirren, for example, was probably when I started. In fact, the game at Tynecastle was probably when I really started to turn, because we went to Tynecastle and treated it as if we were going to Celtic Park or Ibrox. I think if you see the heat map, I think Laurie actually sent it in the group chat, and our heat map's across the 18-yard box. And no disrespect to Hearts, but up until that point in the season, Hearts have been pretty bang average up until that point in the season. And we went to Tynecastle with a mindset of do not lose, do not concede. And Hearts were there to have a go at, if you wanted to. And then followed that up with a performance at St Mirren. And it was all the changes. We're 1-0 down, created nothing, and all his changes are like for like, which just suggested that he was content with how we were playing and how the game was going, when he made no change, no positive sort of change to go and affect the game. And then, you know, the game, we had quite fire games against Dundee back-to-back, and it was Tony Dorcutt who made changes in both those games to go and win the game of football. And that's the difference for me, is we've come up against teams and they make a positive change to go and win games. Dorcutt went two up in the game at Livy, changed his shape a little bit, saw that the game was a nothing game, it was there to be won. The following week at Dens, knew that we were causing them problems on the break, we were winning a lot of fit, you know, loose balls in the middle of the park. He puts on the boy Boateng, who dominated the game for the next 20 minutes, and they score in that period of time. Again, it's managers making a positive change to go and affect the game, whilst our manager doesn't do that, which is, he seems content, and it's all about trying to stop the opposition. The game at Pittodrie, we change our shape as soon as Barry Robson changed our back four. First thing we did was change our shape to our back four. There was no need for it. We were well in control of the game at Pittodrie. And then within 5 or 10 minutes, Aberdeen go 2-1 up. And it's all because our manager's approach to that was, oh, they've made a change, we need to try and stop that. And it's, as I say, it's that negative mindset, and it's been like that, not just this season, this goes back to February time.
Hey, Anna, if you wanted to come in.
I thought you were being very kind there about living at the Livingston game. I don't remember it being a very happy 1-0 win.
You absolutely bossed us. I actually came away from that game and I felt embarrassed about how we played. And like, I absolutely understand when we go to Celtic Park, when we go to Ibrox, we're going to sit behind the ball and dominate, and, you know, expect a lot of pressure, a lot of possession from the opposition. And as I say, it's not a dig at Hearts, but they hadn't been any great shakes up until that point in the season. So I don't understand why we went with that mindset for that game. And I just felt quite embarrassed about how we approached it. And it was that way. Hearts scored with, 10 minutes to go. And it's, use Craig Levine as an example again, when he played that 4-6-0 with Scotland. You can see the goal late on, but you've gone out with the mindset of defending for the entire game. You can't then go, attack-minded approach for 10 minutes because you've been so used to sitting camped in your own half. And that's all we knew. You could see it sitting in the away end. You knew fine well Hearts were going to score late on, and that was game done, dusted. And that's exactly how it panned out. But as I say, I just came away from Tynecastle feeling embarrassed about how we approached the game. I actually was apologising to Hearts fans because it was so negative. It was just, yes. It's been a real slog this season. Real, real slog. You can tell I'm a really cheery guy tonight. I'm actually normally quite happy, believe it or not.
You don't seem to come very sad. You seem very diplomatic about it all, to be honest. I have to say, I think for us, the lack of consistency for me really dampened things a lot in the first 3-4 months of the season. I think it's only been the last few weeks where I felt there's been a sustained upward trend, and perhaps because we were lacking the consistency in our form, that kind of dampened any wins we had in between the bad run, run of form that we had. I think we had two games sandwiched with Rangers at that time as well. So we lost at Ibrox and then we lost again at Hampden. I'm sorry, Hearts fans, to say this, but I must admit, when I looked at the Hampden fixture, I kind of wrote it off from the start because I just thought you kind of just know what's going to happen. So, perhaps that's why I'd reacted the way I did when, you know, we're talking about the Livy game just there. But beyond that, do you not think David needs just this break to reset, control alt delete, and then get going again? Because it's amazing. I mean, you were talking about the October break just earlier. It's amazing how a prolonged period away can either be good or bad. Perhaps David and the players just need that prolonged break. And then perhaps when they go into this next phase of the season, things can change for the better.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope. They're away to Turkey, I believe. Don't worry, it's not coming out of our budget. We essentially won a competition, which is paying for it. We won the Titanic Cup, that prestigious European trophy, and the World Cup break last year. So we got an all-expenses trip to Turkey paid for. So we're going to defend our European trophy over there. But yeah, you're kind of hoping that the Martindale recruitment genius comes back in over the next month, essentially. I know there's been a lot of chat about Andy Halliday coming back, which I think would be a really good signing for us if Andy comes in. I think that then allows guys like Andrew Shinney, Scott Pittman to play a little bit further forward, because he would just probably sit in there with Jason Hope. So I think Andy would be a really good addition, albeit he's kind of short on minutes, but he's obviously got an association with the football club. He started his career there. We gave him his big break and he got a good move to Middlesbrough off the back of one full season at the football club. So I'm sure Andy would come in, and kind of character he is, plays with his heart in his sleeve. So I think he would be a good signing. The boy that was signed, Tete Yenge from Ipswich, he came on in the game against Hearts there at Livy, looked pretty good. A little bit of a different option to what we've got, a target man that can play a bit of football, it seemed, from that 20-minute cameo. So yeah, you're kind of... And we've managed to shift a few players on. Tom Parks left today, who I believe was our highest earner, so that frees up a significant wage in our wage structure. So, yeah, it'll be... But as I say, it's going to take a minor miracle. I think if you compare, use Hearts as an example, when the season was cut short, I think it was 30 games were played at that point, and Hearts had won 4. Do you realistically see Hearts going and winning 4 or 5 games in their last 8 to stay up?
No chance. So that I remember very well. Yeah. It was Tynecastle was miserable. It was absolutely miserable.
And that's kind of my realistic head on. You've won 2 games in 21. Are you realistically going to go and win 7 or 8 games between now and the end of the season? I just can't see it. But as I say, as long as we go down fighting, that's my only ask of the players and the manager, is that we go down with a bit of fight about us. And the game against Hearts, I think we showed that. Game at Pittodrie, I think we showed that. The other thing is, I think if we performed to that level against half of the league, we'd pick up results. So that's the only bit of hope you've really got at this moment in time.
Right, very quickly then, sticker twist. You said, dude, at the start of the season, your prediction was 9th place. What's your prediction now?
I'm going to twist. I'm going for top 6. No, I will go for automatic relegation at this point. Oh. I will say we're going to finish 12th.
Right, okay. Right, well, we've started at the bottom of the table, so we'll move up to like the higher ends of the table, right? Okay. Andy, Rangers, obviously change of manager, which we spoke about a wee bit when you previously been on. Cup win. How big's that been for the club?
Yeah, obviously you've mentioned that, the change of manager. From Bale going out, and obviously we did have Steve Davis in as interim a couple of games, and then Philippe Clement's come in and he has done a good job up to now. You know, obviously a disappointing result there at Parkhead just before the winter break. I think he has a good manager. I think he's got team playing differently, which it couldn't have got much worse under Bale, to be honest, but differently in terms of his own style, and you know, adapting to different styles of play. You know, it's not just one style of play where Bale had that, and and he still seems to have that at Sunderland, regardless of who he's playing against. But I do like Clement and the way he goes about his business, in terms of media things, certain media things, you know, just the way he manages the players and stuff like that there. But it's still early days, you know, he needs to get players in. Okay, we've brought one in on loan, but I still think he needs to get his own stamp there on the club. But he needs to be backed financially this month, but also probably even more so in the summer. As most people know, you don't really get a big lot of money to spend in January throughout club football anyway, unless you're Chelsea, obviously.
I mean, the big thing, obviously, we're kind of speaking about this for a wee bit, Shankland. Is Shankland going to go to Rangers this transfer window?
If you ask me the question, would I take Shankland at Rangers? Yes, and I think the majority of Rangers fans would. He's obviously a goal scorer. He works hard for the team as well in certain aspects. But in my own personal opinion, will we be able to afford Shankland? No. And the reason why, I think, and all due respect to Hearts, Hearts will obviously want more money than what Rangers may offer of the rumoured fee of whatever it is, 2 to 3 million. And even if that is thrown in Alex Lowry as part of the deal, I just don't think it'll happen. I think, you know, if Rangers come in with that money, Hearts will probably say no and laugh at it. And then you'll get an English Championship side or Premier League side come in with bigger money and they'll be able to afford him. So yes, I would like to see him at Ibrox, but I don't think it'll happen.
Do you like it? There's a few kind of interesting ones just now, because obviously Shankland's been linked with Rangers. Dander, obviously at Ross County, bit of a slightly different situation. 6 months left in his deal, he's been linked with Hearts. So see, at what point do you possibly cash in an asset? I know Hearts will say that Shankland's important to them, but if he doesn't go this January and he's got 12 months left in his contract, realistically, at the 12-month point, he's not going to sign another deal for Hearts, probably. Probably not going to leave either, because he'll wait till January and be a bossman and get more wages. Like, 18 months isn't that much time left in terms of contract, I don't think, these days.
No, it's not. It's a hard one. It's a hard one to call, John, you know, from a Hearts point of view, and also Rangers or whoever else it might be that is interested in him. But, again, and rightfully so, Hearts will be looking a decent fee. But as you've just said there, how long do they let that go on? I don't know.
I know we touched on a wee bit, Anas, when you were on previously, but what do you think?
I think Shankland probably will stay on for the rest of the season, primarily because he has been on good form, but also because he'll have his eye on a place in the Euros later this year. And to be honest, if the continuity is that he keeps scoring the goals as he has done, then I think his safest option really for him is to stay until the end of the season at least, so that he can keep that form going and be virtually guaranteed to spot, because he's virtually in the 11 all the time when we play. Whatever happens afterwards, I honestly have no idea, and frankly nobody on this podcast knows, and nobody in the country knows. I think the only person who knows in his mind what he might want to do is Lawrence himself. But then again, I don't think you know, I don't think that's primarily on top of his thoughts just now. Obviously, the speculation goes up at this time because we've got the transfer window. But I think for him, he wants to make sure that he does get his place at the Euros and then see what happens after that. And if, by all means, he doesn't sign the new deal by the end of the season or in the summer, then I think then that is the prime moment for Hearts to say, right, if a very substantial offer comes in, £5 million plus, then we would have to take it very, very seriously. And Andy was right there when he was talking about the £2-3 million figure. I don't think that's a figure that Hearts would accept, because it's just far too low, particularly given the value that Lawrence provides, not just as a goal scorer, but as a grafter as well, and somebody who's had to take the captaincy as well, because obviously Craig Gordon's been out for more than a year, although hopefully we will see him back in the first team very, very soon at Hearts. So I don't think Shanks will be moving this month. I think it's highly unlikely, but whatever happens after that point when it comes to the summer, whether he signs a new contract, which I really hope he does, if he does, he has the opportunity to achieve legendary status along the likes of Rudy Scatchell and John Robertson and the like in the coming years. But if he does decide he wants one big move in the stage of the career that he's at just now and in his life, then I'll be sad to see him go, but I wouldn't hold it against him because he is a really, really talented player. And the fact he's been linked with at least one Premier League club in England, I think just isn't surprising given how well he's done this season and last season.
What the rest of you think?
I've said it before and I would love to hear other people's take on this. I would have Lauren Shanklin starting for Scotland. That's how good I think he is. And I know that there's the argument that it might not fit into Clark's system, but for me, if you get the ball in the box, you score your goals. I mean, you showed that against Georgia with the cameo that he had there. It gets the equaliser. And I thought it was absolutely criminal that in the following game he didn't start against Norway. Going into that Euros, I think I'd have Lauren Shanklin and starting 11, never mind the squad, but that's just my take.
Ewan?
Yeah, kind of. Off the back of having Laurie, who's obviously been a regular on this podcast, on ours, and it was he kind of pointed out to me about how Shanklin's, you know, link-up play, and he kind of drops off the front a lot and links up as a 10 and brings others into play quite a lot. And obviously when that sort of thing's pointed out to you, you then look for it. And it's probably the biggest compliment. He's actually a lot better all-round footballer than I would have given him credit for. But kind of on what Stephen touched on there, I think he would suit playing for Scotland. As big a fan as I am of Lyndon Dykes, he's never going to guarantee you goals. He'll chip in with the odd one here or there, and he does chip in with important ones for Scotland. But, you know, I think in terms of the link-up play that, you know, I listened to an interview with Steve Clarke and he spoke about how he needs his strikers to be able to link the game and bring, you know, the likes of McGinn's, McTominay's into the game. And I think Shanklin would do that. So I think he's almost a nailed on certainty to be on the plane to Germany. But from a Rangers perspective, I know Rangers, you know, every club really doesn't get the same sort of finances in January, but in my opinion, Shanklin could be the difference between a genuine title race and not for Rangers. If he's scoring the number of goals he is at Hearts, think of the number of goals he's going to score in one half of the Old Firm. I think it's an absolute no-brainer to go and go for somebody like that. Given the quality of the signings that Rangers had in the summer, you know, I've watched quite a lot of Rangers because my girlfriend's a Rangers fan, and Dessers isn't up to it. I'm pretty sure he's standing offside currently. He's offside every other time I've watched him. The boy Lammers looks like an accountant, to be honest. He doesn't look like a footballer. I genuinely, Beale's recruitment was horrific over the summer. And I think you've actually got a genuine manager. Rangers beat us twice early on in the season, 4-0. Both games at Ibrox. I was more impressed with Rangers in the most recent game at Livy because they looked like they had an identity, a style of play, and that was when Clement had been in the building for, a couple of months at that point. And you could actually see what Rangers' approach was in their style of play. They played with two natural wide players, like Sam McCausland one side, Seema playing the other. Like, they look like a proper football team now. Whilst under Beale, I think Beale was just shoving 11 players out in the park and hoping something happened. That was the approach I got from him watching Rangers. But for me, Shanklin's an absolute no-brainer. I think he's going to guarantee Rangers 20-25 goals a season. No bother.
Laurie, what was your thoughts?
Yep, so just kind of echoing what Stephen said a minute ago. I mean, I think, and I don't think it's totally controversial to say it, Lauren Shanklin is the best natural finisher we've got. And I mean, Obviously, in Euro 2020, the one thing we froze for was goals. And, let's face it, if we win, well, realistically, if we win one game out of the three group stage matches, which is doable, there's a solid chance that we'll get into knockout stages. So having someone like Shanklin on the park, it almost feels a must at this point if he keeps his form up.
Andy, like in terms of like other play areas you want to strengthen, left back's a position. Obviously, Josh Doig been getting linked. Whether that's going to happen, I don't know. Another wide player, maybe.
John, see just very quickly before we move on to that, see just in regards to the Shanklin thing, and it's not just Lawrence Shanklin, it's happened for the past so many years. Rangers scouting system, whoever runs it, whatever way it's been run absolutely shockingly. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful manner towards any other Premier League club in Scotland, because 9 times out of 10, good players have come through at any team in the Premier League. Rangers and Celtic more or less try and snap them up. The amount of times that we've had chances, Shanklin, we could have had him at when he was at Queen's Park. We could have had him at Ayr United at a much cheaper value. Doig was the same. Numerous players, and we've missed out on so many. Not just in recent years, going back the Smith and stuff like that there, but. It's just frustrating, when them players are sort of there, take the chance on them. They will score goals, or they will do a job, or they're doing well, and then you can't afford them. But that is frustrating. In regards to the other point, yeah, I think we possibly need a left back. Barisic is out of contract. There's talk of Yilmaz going to Hellas Verona or elsewhere. So we will need a left back in the summer, but I think we may need one, this month as well. Where else in the park we need? If you're talking just this month, I think that's the out and out answer is a striker, but possibly another centre half and someone who's a real leader, and another midfielder, and again. In the leading terms as well, and I know we've a lot of injuries, but overall, the likes of Goldson, Suter, Davies, Leon King, Balogun, they're not, in my opinion, they're not the best of quality. They take Rangers to the sort of driving us to the league titles defensively, keeping clean sheets or and European games and stuff. And yes, those I've just mentioned have had decent games in the past, but I just think we need to sort of go up a bit, in terms of leadership or centre half, player or pairing, and the exact same with midfield as well.
I mean, defensively, Scott McKenna was originally linked with Celtic. Now he's linked with Rangers. He strikes me as someone that would fit in at Rangers in terms of from a left-footed centre-back point of view, physical, demanding centre-back. Bit of pace, would you take him at Rangers?
Yeah, he's a good player. Would I take him? Yes, I probably would. But again, could we afford him? Price-wise or wage-wise, I'm not so sure. I think Celtic would maybe have the edge over us, in terms of the financial side there. But he's a good player. He's proven it against us, many times for Aberdeen. He's went to play in England. Obviously, it hasn't sort of fell out of favour recently, but he is a good centre half, and again, he's been in and around the Scotland setup, I think, a few times in recent years as well.
Right, okay, so obviously you predicted Rangers to finish first at the start of the season. Any kind of change in that? Or are you sticking with your prediction?
I think I'll stick. I think obviously we've still got two games in hand. You've got to win them games in hand, of course, and the rest. But we really need to start. There's a lot of players in that team need to start putting their socks up, individual wise and as a team. Mostly, especially against Celtic, because the last two games weren't good enough against them. But there's a lot of players in that team that sort of get free hit time and time again, and people need to stand up to the mark and start playing as if they want to play for their future at the club, you know. So yes, I'm gonna stick with first place. I still think it'll be tight. Come the end of the season, there'll be points dropped between ourselves, but also I think Celtic as well. But I still think we'll win the league.
Right, okay, we'll move on to another team. So another team that had Champions League hopes early in the season, St Mirren. Alan, I mean, I know there was like this passports were getting looked out. Who would you draw next year? It slipped a wee bit, but would you say that as a St Mirren fan, you're one of the happier people on the podcast today?
I'm happier because I never believed that high, but I thought we had a great opportunity from where we were, given the start we had made and the start that Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen all made. They were all struggling at that time. We had a cushion on them, but I think it was flattering to have us in third place. We're never going to finish third. We don't really have the resources to finish third, I don't think. The squad's not deep enough. And as soon as you get injuries and suspensions and things in key places, then we're going to struggle. And if you actually look at our points, we've got 29 points, but we've got 14 of them in the first six games. We've only actually picked up 15 in the next 16 games. So that tells you that it has been an opportunity that's slipped away a bit. We can still correct it, but we're going to have to put things right fairly quickly, because that's quite a poor run of form, really, if you're talking about finishing top six of Europe.
I think teams have kind of switched on how to play against you, because earlier on in the season, it seemed to be the tactic was the wing-backs were getting really high up the pitch, and a lot of the goals were actually coming from one wing back to another, even there was times.
Yeah, you can't argue about that. That was the case, and Ryan Strain and Tansley were causing all sorts of havoc. I think it's maybe a mixture of that and a bit of a form dip. I think Ryan Strain wasn't quite as good before he got injured, so that could have fallen away a bit. The link-up with him and Conor McManaman on the right wasn't working as well as it had at the start of the season. Teams have really switched on to McManaman, forcing him back inside, forcing him wide so that he can't get on his left foot. And he's been quite ineffective, really, especially since Strain's not been in the team. Tanzer doesn't seem to be getting in as many good positions. You saw the quality of the goal up at Aberdeen recently that he's got there. If you get him into that position, he can play a lovely ball in. Not been getting there enough. I think it's a lot. I could put it on one particular factor as to why that's happened. I think teams have cottoned on. I think we've maybe gone a wee bit long sometimes, a bit too much. That the manager would argue about that, I think, because he said we don't try to go long. But I've seen teams press us, and we kind of don't handle it all that well at times, and we just lump it long. And if that's the case, then we're struggling, especially if Mandron's not, because a younger won't win a header, much as he's a good player. He's not a guy who's going to go up and win headers for you. So, I think also things were going well for us at the start of the season. Confidence was high. There was a belief that we were going to get a result, and it all kind of changed, I think, after we lost that first game to Rangers. It just didn't seem to be the same after that. It was like, I don't know, they didn't really believe that we were going to go in and win the game, and we've ended up losing games later on at Perth and Dingwall. That just wasn't happening early in the season. So I think we had a good wee run, put us in a great position, falling back from that. But you were talking earlier on, people were talking about Livingston get a chance to reset. This is a chance for St Mirren to reset and hopefully kick on again, because we've got enough players in there, if we're all fit, to put in a decent challenge. But when we miss the likes of Ryan Strain, when Hara and Bacchus are both out at the one time, you saw that the other night against Celtic, it was really lightweight in midfield. We just killed to Flynn and Boyd Munce. Not a ball when they're in there. I thought you should have Gogic in midfield to try and stiffen it up a bit. I think it was just overrun us, and we weren't good enough, to compete with them. So while we've got plenty of cover up front, which was the opposite of last season, we seem to have a reasonable amount of cover at the back, except for right back and left back now that Small's going back. Midfield is light. It's definitely a light. And, if we're missing one or two players in there, it's a struggle.
I mean, obviously, Bacchus is away with Australia as well, yep. So you're even shorter. Up front, I know Curtis Mayne was linked with St Mirren, but Robinson has said no, because you've got Elvis in the building.
Elvis is a wing-back, apparently. We've only seen him for half an hour against Celtic when we had 10 men and no out-ball. So I don't know how much of a substitute he's going to be for Ryan Strain in terms of attacking intent. But yeah, we've got six forwards anyway without Curtis Mayne. We don't really need any more. We'd need to seven, you could argue seven now, Kieran Arthur's back, but you'd have to offload some of them to bring men back anyway. And I don't really like people coming back like that. I'm not sure it always works. It was really good for us last season, but it was more about his work rate and his effort and leading from the front than the scoring goals. You know, I'm not going to criticise the forwards for not working hard enough. I don't think that's the case, but we're needing a bit of inspiration up front at the moment, to me. And the best partnership we had was Ayunga and Nachmani against Ross County recently. It didn't seem to work the next time we played together, and he keeps chopping and changing the front players. I don't know if that's, you know, in a sort of attempt to expose weaknesses in other teams, but it hasn't worked. It hasn't really worked at all. So I think he needs to decide what his best partnership is up front and go mainly with that, with the odd tinkering for the odd game, and try and get a settled team in there and maybe build a bit of stability and a bit of confidence again, because we really have let a very good position slip away, you know, and there's teams with lots of games in hand against us now, so it's going to be tough. It is going to be tough to get the top six even.
Yeah, you've been linked with anyone else? Like, his transfer window so far for most clubs has been pretty quiet. There's not much happening yet.
I haven't heard a name. He seems to think he's got somebody lined up, but and I think it was a forward. So, and I find that really, really strange. He has said we'll have to move people on before we can bring anybody in. Now, Small went back to Southampton, but I don't imagine that would free up any money. We'd just be another loan dealer, I thought. And Kieran Offer's come back from Edinburgh, he might go out again. So there's not been any movement, and it's quite quiet in terms of the rumour mill. For names, I think that's the way he goes about his business now. We used to get all sorts of names when Gus was there and people like that. Some of them are going to sign. I think every year we're going to sign John Rankin. Never ever happened. But you don't hear that now. You don't see any of the same leaks, or I don't anyway, coming from the club. So maybe there's things going on and they're closer than we think. But at the moment, it's just a waiting game.
Do you remember what your prediction was at the start of the season?
I think I said six, didn't I? Did I say it?
You did, right.
Between sixth and seventh, and I went for sixth to be optimistic. I would stick with that. I think we've still got enough about us to get top six, but you know, you're looking at Kilmarnock, Dundee. I expect Aberdeen and Hibs to improve. Aberdeen have got a lot of games to play, and they've played a lot of games already this season. They've still been midweek Saturday, so they might not improve as much as I fear. I think Hibs will improve, although it's taken a while with Nick Montgomery. I think Dundee are a threat, because I think Dundee absolutely gave us a doing at Dens Park, and they're a better team than I thought they were going to be. And you can't praise Kilmarnock highly enough. They've really come on to a game. They've beat Celtic, they've won at Petrodi, they came and beat us. So that, and we can't. We've scored one goal against them since they came back up, five attempts, and that was an own goal by Kyle McGuinness. So we struggle against them, and I can see why they're doing now what I think we were doing at the start of the season. They're really a real proper team that are hard to beat. They know what they're about, and they just give you a real hard game every time. So it'll be tough to get back above them, to be honest with you.
What do you guys think about St Mirren and the job Robinson's doing?
I'll come in here, and thank you very much for the compliments about Kelly. I mean, and I would echo quite a lot of that. Well, maybe minus that stat there, and that's really brilliant stat from a Kelly perspective about, you know, I mean, St Mirren have been superb this, well, for the most part this season, and last, of course. St Mirren and Kelly are very comparable, I've got to say, so we'll probably just be kind of up each other's backsides for the remainder of the season, I would think. But Stephen Robinson, from the outside looking in, has done a great job. When he first came in, I didn't think he was very well liked by the St Mirren fan for some reason. Would that be fair to say?
He made a comment that, because when he came in at first, we'd gone like something like eight games and won seven of them, drawn the other one. And Jim Goodwin went to Aberdeen, and Robinson came in, and the form kind of fell away. And he made a comment that we're in a relegation battle, when the support really thought we should be chasing top six. So that, from that perspective, you know, thought people thought, what's he talking about? You know, we've been going, well, you've got a chance. It just seemed very negative. As it turned, I mean, I don't think he was right. We kind of dabbled with the relegation that year, but it was never even close. But equally, we weren't really a top five team, if you know what I mean. So I think to start off with that kind of comment, and it gave off negative vibes, and I think that was the issue there. he sorted that out fairly quickly. They finished the season well. I don't think they could see a goal after the split. And then we started last season, apart from the League Cup disaster at the start of last season, we started that well and continued it for most of the season. A few blips, but he's very much a very popular man with support now. He's certainly won the vast majority of the Swansea fans over. And, you know, no manager's perfect. People will complain about his tactics at times and why he's not doing this and why he's not doing that. But overall, you'd have to say he's done a fantastic job.
Stevens, you're an expert on the juice that Robinson can provide. What is it you want to come in and say?
No, what he's really good at is he's really good at identifying what he needs for his style of playing. I think Alan will have seen that for the time he's come in. He kind of goes with strikers that are really physical, try to dominate defenders that way. I mean, we get the term labelled that as hammer throwers when he was in charge because of their style of playing. Listen, there's nothing wrong with it. But all right, he does like to put the ball up to his front men, but when the ball is in the opposition's half, you do play some football under Stephen Robinson, and that's something that I know from his time at Motherwell. I just think he's probably one of the most consistent managers in the league. And I think maybe to go back to Alan's comment about Robinson saying that he was in a relegation battle, I can tell you that it was like that at Motherwell. The main objective was to survive first and then build for there. That's not to say that he's not aiming for top six. It's just he takes it in increments, if you like, over the course of a season. But I think he's a top, top manager.
Yeah, I mean, he did say, you know, he said that at the start of this season, we're going well as the main priority was to stay in the league. It was just that he came in February on a time when, you know, we'd gone 7 wins out of 8, and before that, we'd gone 11 without a win. So the fans were really thinking we're on a roll here and we're going to push on for the top six. So it was a real shock and took away all the positivity that, you know, the support had been feeling. That was all, I think realistically, he was probably just protecting himself a bit because he could see that it was going to be a real struggle to get top six.
Ewan, you want to come in?
Yeah, I've spent a fair whack of most of the season just with my new job and that at St Mirren, not in the Celtic club shop. It's a different office at St Mirren. But, you know, it's a well-run football club, and I think it shows on the park. I think when you've got that stability off it, and I think a lot of that's down to, you know, Keith Lasley going in there as well, I think does a really good job there. But I just think Robinson, he doesn't shy away from what his teams are, I don't think. And, you know, there's, in Scottish football in particular, there's a constant gripe about how teams play, you know. And, you know, I know that from our past as well, whilst we've been in the top flight. But he does what his team's capable of doing. He recruits players that he knows. You know, there's a load of players at St Mirren who worked with him at previous clubs, i.e. Motherwell or Morecambe, when he was down south, and I just think he plays to his strengths as a manager. And, you know, St Mirren will always pick up results in the league. And, you know, go back to when we played you earlier in the season, the game we went 1-0 up very late on, and he's nicked an equaliser in the 96th minute. Because St Mirren keep themselves in games all the time, and they're always capable of nicking their goal. When I think Robinson, despite a kind of rocky start when he first went in, again, his recruitment that summer's kind of changed St Mirren. He recruited players that he knows he can trust, he knows he'll play the way that he wants to play. And I just think he's, as I say, but it comes from the football club as a whole, is kind of very well run these days. And that stability reflects on the park. And I think, you know, I think St Mirren will definitely be pushing for top six this season, because they'll pick up results and they're always difficult to beat. So, but I've got a lot of time for Stephen Robinson, because he doesn't try and, I don't think he tries to sugarcoat how his teams play. I think actually when you'd mentioned the kind of bad League Cup run at the start of last year, he made a big point of saying, we're not going to dominate the ball, so these games aren't a fair reflection of where we'll be this season. Yeah. And that's, you know, he knows fine well what his team's kept, you know, built to do. And as I say, play to their strengths, and fair play to them. It's a football club that's in a really good place just now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point because we're a better team without the ball at times, you know. If we have too much of the ball, we struggle to beat teams. And even if you look at the results, you can see that the first goal's massive in our game. So if we lose a goal, we rarely get anything out of the game. I think we've done it 3 times this season, which is probably quite good. But equally, when we've got a goal ahead, there's only Aberdeen have got a point against us and Celtic beat us at Celtic Park 2-1. And other than that, we've taken the lead in the game, we've won in the league this season. So that's how important getting the first goal is to St Mirren. And you're right about recruiting players for his style. He brought in Ryan Strain because he knew he needed a wing back in that side. Tansy had Tansy on our side. Bacchus was a great one for the engine room in the midfield, along with Mark O'Hara. It was a good combination. So I think his recruitment last summer was fantastic. Not like the summer before. This summer, I think he's tried his best to beef up the forward line because we were really short of options last season. And we've kind of got much of a muchness in there in terms of ability. We've got 6 strikers and you could pick any 2 of them and it's not going to make a massive difference, or at least it seems that way at the moment. So that's what he's got to sort out for me, is what the best combination up front is and try and build a partnership up there, because they're not really getting a chance to do that at the moment. But I wouldn't criticise Stephen Robinson. I think he's done a great job.
Right, cheers, Alan. Right, we'll move on to Hearts and Arnas. Some clubs have changed managers already. Early in the season, Naismith was getting a bit of pressure. But good run of form. Just going into the break, what's your thoughts so far on Hearts season?
And unfairly, also criticised him for the teething problems earlier on in the season. I mean, I wasn't really one of these people who wanted Naizer out the door earlier, and I feel kind of vindicated by that because obviously the last few games have been really good. 4 wins in the last 5, which is absolutely fantastic. And I think generally speaking, you know, I like Naizer's philosophy. I like what he's trying to achieve. I do accept that he is lacking experience a little bit in terms of being a manager. So, you know, but in a way, the reason I feel quite positive about the future ahead is because he knows what he's trying to achieve, and he knows exactly what he's trying to do to get people on side eventually, and that's to, you know, win games, but win games well and with a certain, you know, attacking style. Now, that said, there have been games at the Tynecastle this season which, although we've won, have not felt like wins in a way. I mean, I think St Johnstone's probably the best example of that because although we won that, we were very. I think we. It just didn't feel like a win. It was just we just turned up, did the business, and that was it. But we didn't go out there to, you know, win 2-3-4-0, and that I think has maybe irritated some of the home support. I think they kind of expect a bit more. So yeah, so far in terms of how I feel the season's been, I think it's good so far. Although the start was difficult and it was very inconsistent, will it remain more consistent as we go into the final months of the season? I hope so, and I do believe that it's essential that we achieve that because we want to be back in European competition next season. We want to be there again, and again, going back to Shankland, we hopefully really want to make sure he's still with us for at least the second half of the season because we do need his goals to make sure that we do get into UEFA competition again next season. And I think hopefully as the season goes on, Naizer will continue to learn more as he goes along and continue to do more of what is right to win and win well, and hopefully iron out any of the mistakes or any you know mistakes that are made because of a lack of experience as a manager. So yeah, I acknowledge you know Naizer is not maybe the most experienced manager in the world, but I think he's generally done quite well. I think he deserves a chance, and I would say as a Hearts fan, I know some of us can be quite impatient when it comes to results and wanting to get the things that we want to see in terms of winning and winning well. But I'm generally happy with Nasir. I'm rooting for him, and I really, really hope that he can get us to third place. And I believe he can. I also accept that he deserves a bit of leeway, because obviously I can see what he's trying to do. I think he deserves a big, big chance to take us into the long term sustainably to hopefully a more successful season. So yeah, no, I'm generally quite happy with where we are, but we just have to keep it up.
Right, no worries. Charlie, you want to come in?
It was just going back to a point already made about Shankland. Do you worry if he goes, obviously top goal scorer with 19 goals? I had to look that up because I wanted to get it right. Your next top goal scorer is Vargas with 3. Does that concern you if Shankland goes, you're what, 9 points clear in third, about the same over us, maybe more? Do you worry that you could slip down the table if Shankland goes, seeing as there's a 16 goal gap between top goal scorer and second top?
Yes, I do.
Five clear of Kilmarnock, aren't they? Sorry, interrupt. Hearts are 5 clear of Kilmarnock.
Well, is it for us? Maybe it's 9 clear of us then.
Yes, I do worry if Shanks goes, because obviously there is a massive, massive gap between him and Vargas and the other players. I tend to think about the Harry Kane situation at Tottenham, because Harry Kane, really before he left, was the headline player in many ways. I mean, his goals were very, very important, obviously, at Tottenham. But then the problem was, with hindsight, is he was relied upon a lot. And funnily enough, when he left, and I think this was all, you also have to factor in the fact that Ange Postecoglou went to Tottenham and he's really got the team playing really well. Suddenly, they haven't really missed Kane. You know, okay, they miss his goals, but they haven't really missed him. They've managed to do well without him. And I have had times when I've wondered, if Shankland wasn't there, will that then give the players, you know, the I wouldn't say the lift, but really the wake up call to say, look, guys, Shanks isn't there. Someone has to score the goals, and it can't be Shanks because he's not there. So, you know, I tend to think about that, and I tend to think, as much as I like him and as much as I'm delighted with what he's doing for us, would we be in some ways a little bit better off long term not having him there, because the other players have to step up in terms of scoring the goals that wouldn't be there because Shanks wasn't there? So that's the thing I tend to think about every now and again. But for me, if Shanks really has to go, either, God forbid, this month or in the summer, I'd like to think we've got a sustainable replacement in line. I think Hearts would probably have to think about that very carefully, because if he wasn't replaced properly and the other players don't step up with the goals, then yeah, that third place will suddenly look like incredibly ambitious for us.
Alan, St John, do you want to come in?
I was just going to ask, how do you see the goalkeeper situation playing out? Obviously, Craig Gordon's been back on the bench recently, but he seems to have kept faith with Clark. Do you think that will change, you know, after this sort of mini break? Will Gordon start games again? And I guess also thinking that from a Scotland perspective, I guess it'd be good to get Gordon playing again. I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think Clark's fully convinced the Hearts support, from what I sort of read and hear from certain people. And he does seem a bit shaky at times. Obviously, I had many seasons watching him, and you know, I liked him, he was very successful with us, but he does have his moments where he's a bit shaky. So I think you'd rather obviously have Gordon in. Is that on the cards, do you know?
I think Gordon, if he doesn't start against Spartans, then I wouldn't say I'd be worried, but I would probably be a little bit surprised at that. I know he's obviously been on the bench numerous times in the last few games, but I think from my, I suppose, my own educational guess, I don't think the club wanted him to come straight back in. I think they've just wanted to find the right moment for him to come back into the starting 11. And I think the game against Spartans is actually a great return opportunity for Gordon. Xander Clark, I think, gets a lot of unfair criticism, to be quite honest. I think he's been really not just the number two for me. I think he's probably, I don't like to say the heir to the throne, because that just sounds a bit, it sounds like I'm going into talking about the royal family, but I'd like to think long-term Xander Clark is Craig Gordon's absolute successor. Because I think there have been many a time where Xander has really saved our skin and has kept us in games, but has also kept us in winning positions as well. And I know he had that shaky period earlier in the season, and he got a lot of criticism for that. But in recent games, he's actually really, really pulled off probably some of the most important saves in his Hearts career, believe it or not. And, I mean, oh, the obvious example will be the penalty save against Hibernian, because at that precise moment, you know, we were really vulnerable. I mean, if that was a goal for Hibernian, then I think that could have been a very, very different Edinburgh derby. But the fact that he managed to keep that out, I'd say of all the saves he's done, that was probably the most important one yet, and has probably, in a way, kept him in that starting 11 and maybe held back Craig Gordon from returning earlier than what has happened. But I think Craig has... He's obviously ruthlessly determined to be back. He's got his one eye, I would imagine, on the Scotland squad. I would love to see him. I think the whole country would love to see him play one final major tournament. And I think he would be very, very important in that as well. But of course, it's a blessing to have two goalkeepers in Hearts who are Scotland internationals. They're great, talented keepers. Will it create a bit of a problem, though? Naturally, yes, because they are two really good, outstanding keepers. And of course, you can't play two in the same game at once. So, I mean, someone has to sit on the bench. But a bit of competition in that, you know, the competition there, I don't think does any harm, really. I think it will just drive both of them upwards. And of course, for the country, that's really, really important as well. Because I'd like to think it's not just Craig Gordon who'll make it on the plane to Germany. But I'd like to think Xander Clark will also be there as well, because we need good cover there as well. But hopefully, Craig Gordon will see him against Spartans. I think that's probably the game where I'd love to see him come back and make a return, and for Xander to get a well-earned, nice, hopefully warmish spot on the bench. I don't know how cold it will be on the day, but nice warmish spot on the bench in the Scottish Cup tie. But time will tell. We'll see what happens.
10 clean sheets by Rafa Xander Clark this year, and less than a goal conceded, which is pretty good for a team outside the top two. Right, so you're saying they're going to finish third, right? We're going to move on to Ross County. Ross, you've been unusually very quiet, but obviously change of manager.
Yes.
New head of recruitment.
Yes, both.
Will Nightingale has extended his loan deal to the end of the season.
Yes.
And what else is going to happen in January?
Oh, who knows? Who knows? Sum up the season so far. I think start of the season was feeling really optimistic. It was a good League Cup campaign, a good start as well. So 6 points in the first four games, and then getting into the quarterfinal of the League Cup. And even the two games that we lost at the start of the league was against Celtic and Rangers, and there was good performances in there. I think the international break after the Kilmarnock game, where we beat them 1-0 at Rugby Park, came at the wrong time. Because then as soon as we came back from that break, it just didn't feel like anything was going right. Obviously had the back-to-back defeats against Aberdeen, which I think kind of dented confidence quite a bit, especially that League Cup match, because I think had we kept 11 men on the park that day, I think there would have been a chance we could have got through, because I think it was a bit of a scrappy game, but it was just one of those things. And then from that point onwards, it was kind of, I don't know, the team kind of looked a little bit low on confidence. I think the game at Fir Park against Motherwell, where you're 3-1 up with 2 minutes to go in normal time and you don't win the game, is, you know, that kind of underlines that, you know, the guys were struggling at that point to see out games, whereas then 3 days later they come back from 2-0 down at Easter Road. So it was a strange one. And then even when Malky got sacked after the St Johnston game, there was actually a bit of a mixed feeling amongst the county fans, because they thought it was maybe a bit too early to pull the trigger. There wasn't like that many people really calling for Malky to go at that point. They actually were almost wanting to give him the run of games following that international break to kind of see where the team was and then kind of make their judgments, which obviously didn't get that opportunity to. Derek came in, got 7 points from those 9 possible points in those 3 games there, 3 clean sheets in a row. So it was a great start when Derek came back in, but kind of since then, obviously, you've hit a bit of a bump in the roads with the, was it one point in the last 4? So yeah, kind of going into January, it's going to be interesting to see kind of who comes in the door, who goes out the door as well. We've had a couple of players already leave with Ben Payton after his contract expired. He was recovering from an ACL injury, so the club had kept him on to give him a wage while he was obviously going through the kind of rehabilitation from that. And Scott High, who was on loan from Huddersfield, he made like 2 substitution appearances and then wasn't seen again, but apparently he's picked up an injury, so he's gone back down the road there. So that'll free up some wages. As you said there, Will Nightingale's extended his loan, which I think a lot of County fans are happy about. He's a good centre-half that's played in a kind of a number of positions for us. And yeah, I can see it being a really, really busy window here.
Any certain players you'd like to come in, or positions-wise?
I would say... It's kind of tricky to say. I think we've been really lacking a lot of wide options for the majority of the season. Josh Sims has been kind of our only kind of regularly fit natural wide player. Jay Henderson, I think, pulled his hamstring or tore it against Bro Rangers in the North of Scotland Cup. So he was out for about 8 to 12 weeks. So he's kind of only getting back match fit again. I think he's potentially going to be a big player the second half of the season. He's someone I would have liked to have seen kind of making an impact from the start of the season, but just wasn't given the opportunity. There's obviously rumours floating about social media and all that about Danda and Simon Murray just now. So depending on what happens with them this month, who'll come in to replace them. So you're potentially looking at an attacking midfielder there and a striker.
So is it the talk I heard, is Simon Murray unsettled? Is that the talk or is that just tabloid talk?
I think it's a bit of tabloid talk, but I think there's maybe a bit of it's tricky to say. It's just that kind of rumour season. I think being up in the north of Scotland when you're kind of detached from players' families, it's always tough on them up here, you know. It's actually easier for the players based down in England to get home. They'll just use Inverness Airport and they can fly from Inverness to London quicker than people can drive from Inverness to Perth, which kind of, I think that's why the club are kind of trying to aim to do a lot of their recruitment down in England, just with that kind of attraction to come up here and they can use that that kind of route there. Whereas with Simon, I'm not sure if his family have moved up or if they've not moved up. And yeah, it's obviously just it's quite a commitment to be up here. So if he's choosing to be closer to home for, you know, family situation, then that's entirely up to him. I don't think anyone would kind of turn their nose up at that. They would understand and respect that if that was the case. So,
okay, fair enough. Stephen, you want to go in?
Aye, so, Ross, you probably know what I'm going to ask you. I mean, it's been spoke about in group chats left, right and centre, but Derek Adams' comments about the standard of the league, I think personally he's got a point. I think where he was wrong was the timing of his comments after the defeat. I think that's the only thing you can maybe call into question, but there's evidence to back this up. I mean, I know teams have games in hand, but I'm a fan of a Motherwell side who hadn't won a game in 3 months and we're sitting 5 points off of 6th place. If you don't win a game in 15 games, and 15 games is almost half a season, you should be nowhere near the top 6 or anywhere near a sniff of the top 6. So, do you think he's got a point? Because I certainly do.
I think so as well. And I think the timing of it is interesting. I think he's maybe been discredited a lot because it came off the back of the kind of the last minute Dundee goal in Dingwall. Whereas if that game had finished 0-0, I'm fairly confident he would have still made the same comments. You know, I get people are kind of using the, you know, it would have had more substance had the comments been made on the back of a win. But kind of watching that game there, I think he would have just made the same comments there. And then he's kind of come out and said that he's apologised to the players for the Morecambe comment in particular, which you can understand maybe that was the emotional the emotional part of that. But in terms of the quality of the rest of the league, you're right with what you say. For teams to go 15 games without a win and then all of a sudden pick up a win, and then you're, you know, a handful of points off the top six. That just doesn't make sense in any league. You know, if you're going 15 games without a win, you're cut adrift by some distance. Yeah. But it just shows that the rest of the teams are kind of scrapping around to try and pick up points. And yeah, the guy said it earlier on that there's such just a fine margin between the rest of the teams that, you know, you can throw a blanket over them and they're pretty much, you know, of the same quality. And on Derek's comments as well, I think it was quite interesting that the uproar it caused across Scottish football was from the majority of people were not Ross County fans. I think when Derek made those comments, there wasn't that many Ross County fans that I saw that kind of really took an issue with it. They were almost in agreement with him. And I'm not sure if that's kind of along the lines where Ewan was saying earlier on about Martindale, is that you're used to kind of knowing what a manager is going to say after a match, whereas then Derek has come out there and has been brutally honest, whether people agree with it or not. It's his opinion, and it's caused a stir. I mean, it was the same weekend that there was a National Cup final and Hearts went and won at Celtic Park. However, it felt like the majority of the neutral eyes weren't on those two games. It was actually on Derek Adams and Ross County. And I don't know if that's Derek just trying to change the mentality in terms of he's wanting more eyes in the club. He's wanting the players to understand that, you know, we're not just here for the ride. I think when Derek was appointed, he said the aim, you know, long-term is to become an established top six side and push for European football. Whereas previously under Malky, it was, you know, first goal is to stay in the league, which I think is the realistic expectations for the majority of teams in the league. But the fact that your manager's coming out and saying that straight away is a quite a drastic change of message. And it's how the players respond to that. Can they cope with that pressure, that extra expectation on them? And it's almost like Derek has tried to use that and kind of calculated those comments. And even the post-match comments after the game at Hearts, you know, he was very, very positive with the players after that, because that was the next game after the Dundee game, because we had a couple postponed. So
that was a big question, wasn't it? How the players were going to react to those comments, and they answered all those doubts, if you like, by putting in a good performance at Tynecastle.
They did. And I think the only disappointing thing for me is that they kind of didn't back it up then in front of the home crowd on Tuesday against Aberdeen. I think, I mean, I was down at Tynecastle, and the county fans that travelled down and even the Hearts fans that were there, I think can all agree it didn't look like a Ross County side that weren't playing for their manager, or they weren't, you know, motivated. They were looking to try and prove him wrong for the comments that were made. So fair play to them for that performance. I mean, on another day, there was maybe 3 points coming back up the A9 very much so that it could have been a Hearts penalty as well, and there probably should have been. But in terms of the response that the players gave at that point, you can't knock that. So,
Alan, you want to win?
Yeah, I mean, Derek Adams can say whatever he likes. It's his opinion, and he's quite entitled to do that. I just thought it was ill-advised to say something like that when he's just in the job. And for me, my thoughts as a fan, if I was a Ross County fan, I'd be thinking, well, I think we're going to finish fourth or fifth here now. If the standard's so bad, it must be quite easy for Derek Adams to come in and improve this team and beat all these rubbish teams that we're playing against. That's the thing. I think you're setting yourself up for a fall by saying something like that. I think you can certainly make the comment without being quite so blunt about it, maybe a bit more politically correct, if you like, and just kind of protect yourself a wee bit as well. Because, I mean, I think it's obvious that people are going to react badly to that. It feels like other teams are being criticised, so people are going to say things then, you know, and it doesn't show in a good light. I don't think he's quite entitled to say it. It's his opinion, but I just think it puts a target on his back now.
I think Derek admitted that as well. Like afterwards, he said, when he was asked in the media that, you know, does it potentially put that target in your back, teams coming up here, and he said, yeah, it might do. And that's what they're entitled to. If they're coming up with an extra motivation to try and beat us after those comments, that's on them. But looking at it from our point of view, could he have gone about it in a better way? Yes, he's kind of come out and said that, and especially with the, you know, the Morecambe are 100 times better than this Ross County side at that point. He's admitted that. So that was probably the one he's regretting and was maybe ill-advised that moment. But in terms of the brutal honesty, I think as fans, you come away from games and you're brutally honest as well. But then when you see your manager be brutally honest, you're kind of taken aback by that, thinking, well, he's right. But then when you can kind of break it down, you might think, well, he's having to go in on Monday morning to see the players and explain kind of what's going on here. How are they going to react to him? What are they going to think? And especially kind of when he's new in the door, that was very much a Malky built squad. I mean, he's only been in the door a couple of months. So this is his first transfer window to kind of reshape the squad. So, you know, they're still getting used to him. He's getting used to them. And yeah, it was certainly a surprise the way that the comments came about. And yeah, he's just said it's his opinion for the standard of Scottish football. And the Morecambe one, he's apologised to the players, and he's admitted himself that was ill-advised and he shouldn't have mentioned that. But yeah, just one of these things that's caused quite a stir. So
fair to say, after a winter break, favourable run of fixtures, 5 out of 8 against teams in the bottom six, including 2 against Livy and 1 against St Johnstone at home, who have been awful away. So you think February will shape what the season is?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I think, you know, it's quite concerning seeing all the Danda rumours about and things like that over the last couple of days. If he's still a Ross County player come the close of the transfer window, I'll be very surprised. I think there will be a lot of bigger clubs than Ross County after him, and not just Hearts as well. I know Hearts have been the ones spoken about the most in the media, but I will be amazed if there's not high-end League One teams, potentially even mid-table championship teams, trying to chase Danda and take him down the road. I think the club will look to try and get a fee for him. I think they'll try and do what they did with Ross Stewart, because they banked, over the total of the deal, I think they've banked near enough £2 million from Ross Stewart going down to Sunderland and then Southampton. I think it was like £1.5 million they earned from Ross's move to Southampton on deadline day this year. So I think they'll try and do something like that if they can. If not, I think they're quite comfortable to still use him between now and the end of the season. If that option kind of comes about, I think most Ross County fans would still love to see Jan in Dingwall come the end of the transfer window, because he's technically one of the best players that we've seen in Dingwall. I mean, I've spoken his praises enough, whether it be on our own podcast or on here before. And I think, you know, he's certainly a player that would slot into the majority of teams in this league, and if not be their best player, be one of their best players. So yeah, and then whatever team Derek has built by the end of the window, whether it's, you know, it's actually interesting, in the last couple of days there's a few Morecambe players that he had on loan from Premier League clubs are being recalled by their parent club. So you do wonder, with the new head of recruitment in there, that both Derek and Greg worked at Morecambe, took these players in. Are they going to then try and take them up north as well to try and improve this county side? How are they going to change it? And as you mentioned, the run of fixtures there going into the, you know, coming out of the winter break is really favourable. And especially, you've got to pick up points there before going into the games before the split, because the games in the run up to the split are actually, they're quite hellish. I think it's almost like one of the toughest runs of fixtures you can get. Plus, we've got like 3 games in hand over some of the teams around us. I think we've had 5 postponed matches this season. I'm sure it's probably only Aberdeen that have had a similar amount called off. So, yeah, if hopefully that works in our favour, we can put the points on the board and it's not a case of fatigue when it comes about, that it's just a kind of fixture congestion.
Right, okay. Finally, do you remember where you predicted that Ross County would finish at the start of the season?
I am going to be... I feel like it was either 7th or 6th. Was it 7th?
Aye. What's your prediction now? Sticking or twisting?
See, I think it's quite a difficult one to predict until we see what team is there after the window closes. I am going to twist, but I'm going to go 9th. I think we'll stay up. I think we'll be fine. There is enough quality there, and I think Derek will bring in the quality as well. It's just how the players respond to him, and how the existing group react as well to the criticism previously, and how he gets a tune out of them from kind of going forward.
Okay. Right, one of the biggest shocks of the season must have been Craig Levein returning to management in the Premiership, Alan. But St Johnstone, good home form, but Jekyll and Hyde away from home, terrible.
Terrible away from home, massively improved at home. I wasn't sure how to greet the Levein news at first when it was he was spotted at a game against Kilmarnock in the stand, and I was really probably praying he wasn't there with a view to taking over, but he did take over. And but I have to say, since then, well, I guess, well, we've had more positive results. He has improved things, so it's easier to take him. But I have taken him, I think he's exactly what we probably need at this moment in time, an experienced manager that can kind of just sort us out, give us a bit of structure. He's made us competitive in the league, which I just don't think we were till he came in. It was only going one way. I know I was on at the start of the season. I was, you know, very negative. We just had a terrible League Cup campaign, and we didn't start the league season at all well under McLean. And then the St Mirren game, I'm sure Alan was at it. We lost 4-0, and McLean just went for the players after it. And it wasn't the first time this season he's done that. He kind of managed as he played, if you like. He was a wee bit hot headed, and he didn't rein it in. And he just felt after he made those comments, he had to go. As I say, we did approach Martindale. Probably quite glad we've avoided that, looking back at that. And I'm quite happy we've got Levine. I don't think Levine's... He is obviously the manager, but I think most of the coaching and stuff's been done by Andy Kirk, who's got a lot of faith in. So we have improved. Things are not perfect. It's going to be just a battle to the end of the season. And you know, if we stay up, that's massively successful. But he has made us competitive in the league. I'm fairly confident we will stay up, which I just didn't see a few months ago. So that's a big change.
Didn't there be much movement in the window for St Johnson?
We've already signed two players. Kerr Smith on loan from Aston Villa. So he's only 19. He was at Dundee United. I think he only played about 10 games for Dundee United, but he's quite highly rated. So got him from Aston Villa. And a Swedish player who's got three names, but I won't attempt to... Well, his first name's Benjamin, but I won't attempt to pronounce the rest. He's a forward player, can play left, right or centre, who's come from AIK in Sweden, I think. Used to play for Sunderland at some stage. So they've come in, but we've, players have gone out as well, though. We've lost Luke Robinson back to Wigan. He's actually probably our best player over the course of the season. To be fair, McLean did sign him. He's gone back to Wigan. Costello's left, and I know there's not a Dundee fan on, but I was really wanting to ask them what he thought of that, because he was honking for us, to be honest. I know I've said similar about Theo Bear, and Stephen might bite back me about that, but Costello looked appalling. I can't believe Dundee've signed him. So he's away. So I think there will be more movement. I think Levine would be very keen to replace quite a few of the players. It's probably not realistic in a January window, but I think that there will be another two or three in and two or three out. We need... Levine's insistent, probably not surprisingly to everyone, playing like a three or a five at the back, if you like. That central to obviously playing that formation is wing backs. We don't have good wing backs. Like, one of our wing backs is on the right, James Brown, who's just not good enough to play at this level. And to be fair, he's been asked to play as a wing back. He can't do it. And we've been playing a 16-year-old who looks really promising, but he's actually a midfielder at wing back, you know, rather than James Brown. And on the left, we've only got Tony Gallagher. Robinson could play that position, but he's away now. So these positions are crucial to play this formation, and it's really particularly away from home stopping us from attacking, and that's why we're not scoring goals. So I think he would really like to get players in each of those positions. Whether he will or not, I don't know. And I think he'd like another striker. We're really reliant on Nicky Clark, who is good. He scores goals for us, but he's not fit often enough. And then other than that, we've got, you know, Chris Kane, who doesn't score goals. You know, I like him, he works hard, but he doesn't score goals. Stevie May, who I've said this a few times now, but I think he's more or less done at this level. You know, obviously he's a cult hero with us, but I don't think he's got it at this level. I wouldn't be that surprised if he left on loan somewhere. And Luke Jeffcott, who we signed for Plymouth, who I was probably bigging up in the summer podcast, but has been more or less non-existent since we signed him. So I think he'd really like another striker in. Ideally,
Curtis May at St Johnson. I know he's not a goal scorer.
I've seen it said an unnamed club has also been linked, so I wouldn't be surprised if that was us. But I probably wouldn't take him. I don't. He's not a goal scoring centre forward. He's kind of in the mould of Kane, maybe a bit more physical than Kane. You know, he'll work hard, he'll win free kicks, he'll batter people about. But I don't think he'd offer us anything that different to Kane. So no, I wouldn't take him. I think he'll end up somewhere else other than us anyway, but I did see an unnamed club, so I was getting a bit worried that it might be us. Although, why would they not just name us? I don't know. Just name us. Why not?
I think he went up at Dundee, actually. That's what our feeling is.
Dundee, aye, that's possible. I think Dundee. But no, I wouldn't. I've never really. He's quite a hard player. Maybe one of these players you like when he plays for your team, but I've never really. Well, probably not for you, John, at Aberdeen. But I think Alan was saying he was good last season, but he's not been consistently good for a Scottish team. I don't think so. I know I wouldn't take him.
Do you remember your prediction for the start of the season?
I think I went with a fairly optimistic at the time 10th. Is that right?
Aye, it was aye.
So I'm going to stick with 10th. I think we'll be safe. I think as we've touched on throughout the pod, it's not a great standard of league. There's quite a few poor teams. So I think I'll say we'll finish above Livingston and Ross County. Sorry, Ross. I think we'll finish above Ross County. I think Motherwell, no, we'll come on to Stephen, but Motherwell always look like they're doomed and they're only going one direction, but they always seem to pull out of it somehow. So I think Motherwell will be fine. They'll sign a striker for somewhere and be fine.
Okay,
well,
no one's...
I'll stick with 10th. Yep.
Right, Stephen, Theo Bear.
Aye, we've found a player, and I'm not going to lie, Alan, I didn't know if there was a player there for the majority of this season, but I think the last couple of games, he's really come onto a game. And I remember when we signed him, Stuart Kettlewell spoke about getting Theo in positions where they could hurt teams, and it looked as if we did that right away with him getting the goal in the first game of the season up at Dundee, but then relatively quiet. And amongst that, but the last couple of games he's been on fire. I mean, his goal against Livingston, just what a goal he scored when he just dinks it over the goalkeeper, and then it was a great finish at Easter Road. So hopefully that's a sign of what confidence can do for the player, and hopefully he can kick on after the winter break. But no, I'm really pleased with a few recent performances.
Safe to say, though, there's not maybe problems with Motherwell scoring goals, but conceding goals is a big problem. What about conceding the most in the league, I think?
I think we're definitely up there. The boots. I think that's been our main issue, is being able to keep the ball at the back of the net. I mean, the amount of late goals that we've scored throughout the season, I think is right up there with the highest in the league as well. But it's just been keeping them at the other end. We've conceded, what, as you say, 34, aye, so it is the highest. In the league, I believe. And it's been the manner of the goals that we've been losing. They've been so, so soft. I particularly remember, just to kind of jog Alan's memory, the one against St Johnstone where Liam Kelly comes out and absolutely punches fresh air and it just bundles in off Bevis McGarry. But there's been a number of goals that have just been sloppy. But seeing amongst that, I've never really panicked. You know, I've no sat here and panicked and thought that we need to sack Kettlewell, because there's been glimpses. I look at the point that we got at Celtic Park. I think there's only been two performances. One was at home at Aberdeen. The other would have been away up in Dingwall, where I thought were really, really poor performances from us. So Kets, when he came in, did a great job. I mean, I think they had the second best record in the league out with Celtic for the second half of Kettlewell's tenure when he came in February at the end of the season. So I was never one for trusting in terms of the manager, because I think when you reject things too much, there becomes a point where the players need to take accountability for their own performances. But there's been signs, particularly from about St Mirren onwards, that they were really starting to find a wee bit of stride again.
Okay, Ross, you want to go in?
Yes, it's been interesting kind of watching from afar, because when I think it was at the start of the season when I spoke to Stephen about it and just about Kits and what he had learned from the spell at County. And I think I remember saying to you that he was great when things were going well, but it was just how he would adapt when things kind of weren't going his way.
I remember that exact comment.
Yeah, and it was kind of alarming to see from a distance, because it looked like it was just going to go the same way. I mean, obviously he's picked up the kind of like couple of positive results, and amongst that as well, it wasn't like it was kind of really going downhill rapidly, but it was just kind of concerning watching from a distance, but at least things have kind of picked up a wee bit.
Yeah, no, they've definitely picked up a wee bit. And the reason I say to you that I remember that comment specifically is because it's been etched in my memory and panic throughout the whole season. Ever since you said that, I think we started to go on that slide and that run. But no, we're picking up. I think what's not helped it, Ross, and that's been addressed today, has been the lack of communication from off the park from the guys up above in terms of the CEO position. Derek Weir came out and he did a 40-minute interview on YouTube tonight that I managed to catch before coming on here. And it really addressed some of the anxieties that we had as supporters in terms of where we are off the field. We did try and recruit. We had four candidates for the CEO. One was in America. One, I believe, was Mark McGee. That's not the ex-manager, by the way. That's the guy that was at Blackpool. And all four fell through. And the one takeaway from it that Derek was said that I really agree with, sorry to kind of go off topic in terms of your question, but which is what was in my mind, was that the Welsh Society have generated, I think it's 1.7 million since 2013, and half of that money was loaned to them. So long term, I think Derek's hoping that we can get an investor in behind the Welsh Society, because that's just not going to be able to sustain us as a club if that trajectory keeps continuing. So I'm hoping that there's a plan in place to get that done. We've had to do a lot of renovations on the pitch, and the drainage system stopped working on the pitch. They renovated the East Stand, the John Hunter, as it's known now, and that kind of was done wrong as well. So there's been a lot of mitigating circumstances off the pitch that have kind of contributed to what we're watching on it. I'm just hoping now that we can really get the recruitment right in this window and start to kick on.
You could sell
anyone else.
Sorry, I was going to say you could sell the old drainage to Dundee and Dens Park if you wanted to make a bit of cash.
By the way, the first game of the season nearly got postponed up at Dundee. That's how bad it is up there. That was in August. So, I'm not going to have a jibe at anybody's pitch, because I do have memories of how bad Motherwell's used to be. But in terms of on the pitch, I don't think I would stick with Stuart Kettlewell. He proven what he'd done when he came in. We went on a great run. And I just think what hasn't helped him is he had such a good run and then such a bad run. If those results are spread out more evenly, nobody's questioning his job.
Charlie, you want to come in?
How much do you think your run of form is going to be down to losing Van Veen in the summer? Because I remember he's played us towards the end of last season. I think it was April time and he ripped us to shreds. I think it was a pretty evenly matched game, but he scored two worldies to win use the game. And it seems like since you've lost him, you've brought in Theo Bear, but he's not really scored. I don't think anyone in that team will score the goals that Van Veen scored last year. But how much do you think you've probably no replaced? We have replaced them, but probably not well enough.
Yeah, it's very difficult to replace a guy that scores the amount of goals that Kevin does when you've got the budget that we have at Motherwell. And it's an easy assumption to come to each other when you're not watching Motherwell every week that the immediate factor is that we've not replaced Kevin Van Veen. But as was highlighted earlier, we've conceded the most goals in the league, and that's been where the issue has been. I don't think we've been too bad going forward. There's been games that we've had chances. I mean, I go back to the game at St Mirren, we've had 4 1-on-1s and no managed to come away with 3 points. I know St Mirren will look at that and Alan in particular and say that they missed a penalty in that game, but I thought we were well worth 3 points that day. So we're managing to create chances and we have been taking them at points. It's just keeping them out of the other end. And We've got two really big players in the defensive area of the pitch that have been injured for quite a bit of the season. Callum Butcher was injured for quite a bit, and then Dan Casey goes flying into a challenge in the 90th minute against Ross County when the game's gone and does himself a bad one, and he's out for months. So we've not had the problems to seek with injuries. My real issue for me has been that we didn't need a place for me, the two fullbacks. Now, we brought in Brody Spencer, who did well. He's since been recalled by Huddersfield, but took his ages to decide to play Jordy Gent. And for the worst part of the season. We weren't getting the same width that we were getting from fullbacks when we had Max Johnson and James Furlong in the team towards the second half of last season. So I think that's been more of an issue, is the fullback situation. But we kind of started to rectify that in previous weeks by playing Gent and Spencer. But now again, we find ourselves in the same situation where Brody Spencer's away and we're going to have to replace him now. And I look at the recruitment, there's 19 out of 30 players that Nick Dawes has brought in his tenure as head of recruitment are no longer at the club. Two of the five permanent signings in Pap Swarry and Connor Wilkinson that we made in the summer have been sold in January. And then Brody Spencer, who we brought in on loan, has been recalled. So it always feels like we are rebuilding or trying to recruit players, if you like. There's not really that continuity about us, which is something that we've always had in my time as a Liverpool fan. So, we're replacing again, and that's a concern, I think, is there's only so often you can get it right.
Wing backs and full backs are the new key players that everyone's looking for, isn't it? Hey, Alan, you had a question.
No, it's not a question. It was just going to back up Stephen's comment there, but I don't think there was any St Mirren fans at that game. I don't know very many who thought St Mirren should have beat Motherwell that day, even though we missed a penalty, never kicked a ball after it, and Motherwell caught us three or four times in their own half with the ball, or just coming in for their own half. Should have won the game, should have umpteen chances, and I think a Van Veen would have put at least one of them away, you know, and that's the difference. But I'm not a big fan of Mr. Kettleway, I've got to say. He upset me with comments early in the season, but I think Motherwell will be fine. I think they showed that day particularly, you know, they shouldn't be fighting relegation, I don't think.
Very quickly, Stephen, you had ninth at the start of the season. Are you
Yeah.
sticking at Preston?
Oh, I'm sticking with ninth. I'm sticking with
Stick with
ninth.
ninth.
I think it's looking pretty spot on at the minute, actually. In fact, I should be a bit more modest than that. But no, I think ninth is probably about right.
Right, okay. Right, so one of the few people that surely must be pleased about their season so far, Laurie Kilmarnock. Things are
Yeah.
going now that McInnes has got his own team, isn't it?
Yeah, it really made a difference that, you know, Dean McInnes' players that he actually wanted to be there, and indeed his trusty recruitment manager, Ross Richardson, who of course brought in many a good player for Aberdeen over the years as well. I mean, James Maddison is the first Aberdeen player that comes to mind that was down to him. But we've not had anyone like that yet. But the key for us this year has been, you know, bringing in solid players. And I remember on the, it must have been the season preview podcast, yous were all hyping up Robbie Deans, and I was like, will he make the step up to the Premiership? But he really, really has. Of course, other kind of acquisitions like Stuart Finlay on loan from coming back on loan from Oxford. I mean, Oxford United, by the way, I have no idea why they loaned him out. Seemed a very strange move, especially when you conceded six to Coventry in the FA Cup at the weekend. But I'll try and not say that too loud. Let's hope no one from Oxford is listening, because I assume they're possibly able to recall him. And of course, as well, with a bit more balance this year, having, you know, Armstrong and Kennedy, we don't need to just rely on Armstrong now. We've got quality on the other flank as well, which can make a massive difference in why we're now sitting fourth in the league, which is unbelievable.
Derek likes to do a bit of wheeling and dealing in January as well. So, what else do you expect might come in this window?
I think this window is actually going to be quite quiet. So Derek has been quoted as saying that he's hoping to get one player in and an attacking player, apparently. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, to be honest, but there we are. And of course, we've still not heard what the future holds for Gary Mackay-Steven, who signed for Kelly probably about 4 weeks ago on a deal with the winter break. He only played a grand total of 45 minutes of football over four appearances, but admittedly, in his last two cameo appearances, he did rather well. You know, was the catalyst to Kelly unfortunately only getting a point against Dundee, but he was the guy who made the difference, and he did well at Ibrox just after the turn of the year there. So I think Mackay Stephen will hopefully stay on, but who knows with regards to that one. Very nice to get some clarity there.
Aye, but overall, pleased with the season so far. Away form's picking up a wee bit as well.
Yeah, overall really pleasing, as you say, John. The away form is, starting to pick up. It took us a wee while, of course, until, well, yeah, but it's been, what would it been? Would that have been December when we got our first away win, at Pittodrie? Really, what was that, December? But we have obviously picked up on the way back to the sins, of course, winning in Paisley just after Christmas, and that's a massive result, because St Mirren are arguably our nearest competition, I would say, if we don't want to at the very least cement our top six place, if not kind of make a dash for Europe, for what it's worth.
I think like top six looks like it could be definitely on, but do you think Kilmarnock can contest for third? And they've got enough
Well,
about them.
I think we can, but it's just as Alan was saying it earlier about St Mirren, it's keeping our best players fit. And I mean, we obviously lost Kyle McGuinness to a long-term injury, neither our one, who was brilliant when he was fit, but we've done pretty well without him. But if we can keep, the likes of Armstrong, Kennedy, Watson, Andy, let's face it, that whole defence, I mean, Robbie Deasy, Stuart Finlay, Colin Nadaba, Lewis Mayo, if we can keep those sort of guys fit and firing, with a big F, who knows? We could do something. I don't know about third, but I definitely think state of four for the possibility.
Do you remember where you had Kilmarnock to finish at the start of the season?
I think at the start of the season, I said we would finish sixth, I think.
See, yes, you did. You went for sixth. So, what are you thinking now?
I'm gonna bump it up a place and say fifth. We'll miss out on fourth, but I think we'll get fifth. I'm gonna bump it up a place.
Right, okay. Hey, Anna, she wanted to come in.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, in the context of how well Kilmarnock are doing this season, and obviously where Derek McInnes started getting Kilmarnock from the Championship, which at the best of times is a brutal league to get out of. How much do you factor in Derek McInnes for the overall success of getting from Scotland second tier to a commendable fourth in the Premiership?
I think he had to take quite a lot of credit for it, Anas, because the squad that he kind of inherited when Kelly were fifth in the Championship, when he took over from Tommy Wright, was a decent Championship squad, but nothing remarkable. And then last season, a lot of those Championship players stuck around, and it was a tough slog last season, staying up by the skin of our teeth with what you could argue, especially in hindsight, was a second-tier quality squad. But now, this year, when you can see when we're built for the top flight, it has made a real, real difference.
Okay, but things are going well at Kelly, definitely. Right, Aberdeen, Erin, you've been extremely quiet, which is very unlike you, right?
I've
A
been
few
very
wee
interested in everyone's
starts.
thoughts. Nothing much to see at Aberdeen, it's all going fine. Nothing to worry about at all.
Few wee starts, right? Three wins in the last four, so maybe things are turning.
I think that is a flattering start.
Nine league games that Aberdeen have not scored in. Is the game before the winter window going to change things? The fact that Robson has maybe realised that four at the back is the plan, even though I think a lot of people will be amused by the fact that there was five central midfielders playing, but it worked. They got a fine result at Ross County.
I feel like everyone had said, please stop playing five at the back. And he was like, okay, I'll play five in midfield. No, we'll be back to back five for Clyde, no doubt. Yeah, we are not brilliant. We're a very odd team. Like, how do you beat Frankfurt 2-0? How do you go away in Europe and do well? How do you go to Ibrox and win and then struggle in every other game?
So that would probably be down to the way that Aberdeen set up, because a bit like other folk were saying earlier, there's a lot of teams in the league that like to sit in and try and counter in teams. And obviously when you're playing the likes of Frankfurt, Rangers, the likes, you're sitting in, hitting on the counter-attack, and that seems to work best for Aberdeen. And that's where you need to change against the other teams. With no disrespect to your likes of maybe your Livies, your Ross Counties, or St Johnstone's, you're maybe expecting Aberdeen to have more in the ball, create. And that's something that's been lacking this season.
Yeah, a few of the players that I expected to be better haven't been. Leighton Clarkson's becoming very, very good. He was outstanding at County, but hadn't been as good as I'd expected after last season. Shinney's been a little bit off it. Kelly Roos hasn't been brilliant. For some reason, Angus McDonald can't get a game. Absolutely bizarre. It's a weird one.
It is Valentine's Day, Aberdeen, and Angus is going to pledge his love to you.
I think he'll be gone by then.
I think he'll be gone by then. What was it? He's been linked with him to America, hasn't he?
I'm not sure if I was him at Canada, I think. I'm not sure if I'd hang about and not ever get a game. And you can understand it if someone's keeping out the squad because everyone, you know, they're obviously better. Rubisic is not brilliant. A very odd one. McDonald's should be playing. We should be playing a proper back four. McKenzie can now play at left back now that he's back. Devlin can play at right back. And then we should have McDonald and another centre half in the middle.
Okay. What's your hopes then for the rest of the season?
And don't get relegated. No, we'll be all right. Third, hopefully.
But you still think you can finish third, right? Okay, I suppose it happened last year. You predicted second at the start of the season, but you're going for third.
Right. Okay. If we've got four in hand on Killy. If we win those, we go fourth.
F.
Yeah, right. I mean, there is that, but we are... And games in hand are not worth anything on the table, fine. But I think we are, we're four in hand to Killy. We could potentially go fourth. The only problem is, I think, as well, is I kind of thought, oh, once we're out of Europe, we'll just be playing once a week, it'll be easier. No, we're playing twice a week because we've got so many games in hand. Hopefully be all right. Clyde will be a test, actually, because there's pressure on, and the BBC have picked it because they think there's going to be a repeat of last year. So can't allow that.
Yeah, but what? Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 league games before the end of February. Got to win. So.
And basically that's 9 in like 5 weeks. We don't start well. Yeah, we don't start again for the 24th. So I'm potentially at the Scottish Cup in there. We'll be busy, but yeah, I think we will hopefully be okay. I can't see us getting many players in. We don't need much. I would like a centre-half so we can play a proper nice back four. And other than that, I can't see many going either. I don't think it'll be a dramatic window for us.
Yeah, I suppose things might depend whether what the situation is with Conor Barron. Is he signing a new deal? Is he not? Because someone might try and get him in January as opposed to waiting to try and get him in a pre-contract. Who knows?
They are welcome to him if they like.
What's that?
They are welcome to him. That's absolutely fine.
What, Conor Barron?
Yeah.
Not bothered.
The whole kind of is he staying, is he not staying, what's he doing thing is distracting. I feel like we need it.
Right, okay. I don't know whether it comes down to potential what he's been offered against, maybe what he thinks he can make elsewhere. Hey, Anna, if you wanted to win.
Not sure I understand.
Oh, God, what was that?
Was it... Somebody doesn't understand, don't worry.
It's just a voice out of nowhere, I think. I don't know if it was somebody's smart speaker or something like that. I don't know. Right, I'll keep these questions short for Erin. Three of them. Number one, do you guys miss Derek McInnes? The Aberdeen fans, that is. Number two, is Barry Robson safe until the end of the season? Number three, if you don't get the objective you're looking for, would it be time for him to go? And if so, who would you like to succeed Barry Robson?
Derek McInnes, do I miss him? Yeah, a bit, I do. People complain and our fans don't like it. I do, yeah. I said, mark my words, now he's got some money. First season was a keep them up challenge and he will have been told, if you stay up, get some money, he's got some money and look at Killy flying. Do I think he should come back? I don't know. What was question two?
Barry Robson, I think it was Barry Robson. Is he safe until the end of the season for
No,
you?
absolutely, hopefully not.
And who would you like then to succeed Barry?
So this is hard, isn't it? Because it's very difficult to say we should get rid of the manager if you don't have a potential replacement. But then it's not my job to pick the replacement. So I think we should be thinking. I would have had Tony Mowbray. I mean, the thing is, these are lots of people we probably can't afford unless we accept we're just going to have to spend money on a manager. And that might well be worth it because the budget, I mean, you've got player budget, but realistically, I think sometimes you need to accept that a manager will be more expensive. Who else would I have? See, that's there's a lot of clubs in England losing managers. Forest, right? But can we afford? Probably not. I mean,
Yeah, I think Tony
yeah,
Mowbray was a miss.
Tony Mowbray, I think, not a bad shout.
See, but I
Probably
think
not.
he's a
He's
missed
more.
opportunity now because I think Tony, when he left Sunderland, or well, everyone was stunned when he left Sunderland, but I actually felt Aberdeen would have been a great fit for him. But now, of course, he's now at Birmingham City. So I just
I think
felt it
they'll be
was a
churning
massive.
through another manager quite quickly.
I just felt it was a missed opportunity for Aberdeen. So there's bound to be somebody out there who could take the club on and turn it into a very special opportunity potentially. I mean, bound to be somebody if Barry Robson's not the answer in the next 6 months plus, which I think you probably think that's a generous timescale, to be honest.
I mean, had we lost to Ross County, and I mean, no offense to Ross County, but didn't look good at all. They actually looked worse, I thought, than when we beat them 4-0 at Pittodrie. Had we lost that and he hadn't gone, there would have been an absolute riot. It would have been mental. He probably should have just gone anyway because it hasn't been, and the issues have been team selection and substitutions and in game management, and that is his job. So yeah, I think he's got a lot to do. And transfer window, I mean, the managers do a huge, huge amount of the transfer window. We've treatment teams and stuff for that. But I don't think we need a lot. And I'm worried that if we do start looking at buying players, we make the problem worse. Because I don't know if he knows who to pick or who to play where. Leighton Clarkson was outstanding because he actually got to play in his actual position for a change. So yeah, I suspect there'll be I would be surprised if we make it to the end of the season with Barry there, but then I would like us to go on a really good run and get third. And if you're winning games, I think it's a game by game situation at the moment, or at least it should be.
I mean, Anna Spinney-Smith is a perfect example. He was under a bit of pressure, went on a better run, than now third on the table. Who knows? Charlie, you want to come in?
I just want to know, like, obviously from a fan's point of view, like we had it this season with Johnson, Hearts have had it this season. With Naismith, how much credit do you think Robson, out with the fans, because there's not a lot of credit there for Robson from what I can read, spoken to a few of my Aberdeen mates, but how much credit do you think he's got by from the board in terms of third last season, which was not expected, cup final, beating us on the way, decent showing in Europe. I predict you to lose every game and you beat Frankfurt, had a good couple of showings. How much credit do you think he's got from the board to finish the season, or do you think they're gonna listen to the fans again?
He's obviously got a bit because he's not he's still there, isn't he? So there must be I don't know, Cormac's just reluctant to get rid of another manager because do you want to really be replacing your manager once a season? We'd be on what, 4 in 3 years? It's not ideal. But yeah, I think he presumably does have not a lot with the fans, I don't think. Various reasons, and I don't know. Maybe it'd be fun if we got something really exciting from abroad and a broad manager. That'd be fun. I don't know. I think I really want us to go on a really good run, and if we are winning every game, obviously you keep the manager because you're winning every game, and obviously something's going right. And I mean, you can always think about it in the summer if you think long term, it's not great, but I mean, I saw some of our fans saying, I hope we get beat so that he goes. One, that's an absolutely mental thing to say. But two, I don't think he was going to go. I think if we'd lost at Ross County, I don't think he would. And it would have been mental, but I don't think he would have done. So, yeah, do I think he'll be here at the end of the season? Probably not. But who knows? I said we're going to be second, and we're probably not.
No. Right, moving on to Hibs, whoever's had a change in manager. Initially, good reaction. You can see what Montgomery's been kind of trying to do. However, possibility, no plan B. Only one win in the last five. Few players will be away as well, with Miller, Bashiri, and Boyle all away. And
And
that's
Wallacott and the
aye.
sub goalie Wallacott.
Aye,
But
yep.
he's
Aye,
only played once, right, so he doesn't really.
Already, like, there's kind of issues in terms of shot cover right back. I know you've got one young Rory Whittaker, but you don't want to maybe depend on him the full time that Miller's away.
No.
Boyle's obviously a big loss, much as he maybe not been as good this year as he's been previously. What's your kind of general feeling so far?
Actually, I'm probably more positive than a lot of Hibs fans just now. I can see what Montgomery's trying to do. I can also guarantee for a fact that he's working with players that Jack Ross signed. That was what, four managers ago? Like, we've got Jack Ross signings, who replaced him? Sean Maloney, then Lee Johnson. We've got pretty much three managers, players in that squad. And I know that you can only piss with the cock you've got, for the only phrase I can think of. But I think sometimes Monty's substitutions have been very weird. Dylan Venty's only finished one game for Hibs since he signed. We've no got a, like you say, John, we've not really got a plan B, but I'm still optimistic. I think this window's obviously massive for us. I think there's rumours that about six or seven boys are going out on loan. We're meant to be bringing Kanayo Megwa back from Airdrie, which would be good because he's obviously played a lot more football than Wee Whittaker. Not that Whittaker's done bad by any stretch, but I think we probably need someone that's a wee bit older and more physically able. But I'm still positive. I think looking at games we've maybe drawn, like the game at Rugby Park, Monty's first game, Laurie, you'll probably have been there. We were 2-0 up and cruising, then two defensive errors let's them back in. The game Ross County at home, and Halloween, we're 2-0 up and cruising. Two defensive mistakes lets them in. The semi-final, we were a much better team, but we lost. The Derby probably was a 0-0 game written over it. Defensive error, we lose. St Johnstone game, we never turned up. So there's been some negative results, but if we can turn these draws into wins, I think we'll be fine. We need a lot of players to come in for Monty's style to work. Which obviously you're never going to get that in January. So it's all about bringing in this month, I think, players that are ready. No more project signings. We need people that are ready to play and just hope for the best in the second half.
You think going to window he's going to laterally look to Australia for players, or do you think he's going to look within the UK, or what do you expect in terms of equipment wise?
I think a bit of both. There's talks that there's a boy from Leeds, a right back, centre back, coming in. Chris Murray's name is apparently it's a
Yes,
pretty
right.
much a done deal, just ready to be announced. So he's never played professional football. So that's, again, it's a project. But I would hope, he'll get my back in as every signing does. But I think I'd be looking more Scottish based, to be honest with you. If I was Hibs, I'd be all over Danny Armstrong. We need a winger. Sorry, Laurie, but I'd be going all for him. I'd be trying to get somebody like players for the championship as well, like Jamie Gullan for Raith. I think he and Dylan Easton, I think they're two players that could definitely make. No, Jamie Gullan, what's the other boy? Their striker, Lewis Vaughan. We had talks with him numerous times, but his injury problems have
Yeah.
haunted him. But I think, and James Penrice as well, like you had mentioned, I think we just need to look. But there's also talks that we're in for Josh Nisbet, that Monty coached at the Mariners as well, centre mid. So I think there's reason to be optimistic with Hibs. I think the results haven't been great recently. Like you said, one win in the last five at Livi, which was an absolutely horrendous game. But I think there's reason to be optimistic.
Yeah. Getting slagged a wee bit as well for like trying to attract fresh investment with the whole Bournemouth situation, but is that going to be forthcoming in January? Is that going to be a kind of later on type thing?
Well, there's talks that's going through this week, but apparently we're not going to see the money till February. So, but to be fair, I'm all for it. I think more teams in Scotland should be getting invested in. I think if we look at the gap between Celtic and Rangers and the rest of the league, There needs to be a team that's getting, there needs to be more than one team. I'm happy it's Hibs, but there needs to be more investment to try and bridge that gap.
I think you would need to part with a wee bit of money to get rid of Armstrong from Laurie's Kilmarnock. Laurie, what's your response to this?
Yeah, I think you would need to part with a fairly hefty amount of cash. Although, when I say that, it's maybe not as much cash as you would think. No one's entirely sure. I can't think of his name. Anas Blackwell, tell me. And Mervyn Hart's CEO, someone was quoted at the Hart's AGM saying that they were told that it would be a seven-figure sum. Although there was some paper talk that an American team, an MLS side, I think it was Charlotte FC perhaps, were looking at Danny Armstrong for as little as 600k. So I would imagine it's somewhere. I would hope it's in the £1 million region, but I mean, because 600 grand seems like a bargain for Danny Armstrong. But I mean, if Hibs got to, I'll be honest, if Hibs got to a stage where you had, you know, Danny Armstrong on one side and Martin Boyle on the other, it almost feels like no one, at least no one outside the old firm anyway, is touching that. Let's hope that doesn't come to fruition for my sake and for the rest of the league.
I've seen some Rangers fans trying to say that they wouldn't mind Armstrong at Rangers as an option, but I don't know something that would maybe happen or not.
You just don't know. I've had that conversation with a few Rangers fans actually, and a few of them don't seem to think he would actually be like technically good enough. I mean, he probably wouldn't get the game time he wants. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
But if he was called upon, he would play well, I would imagine, but don't go, Danny, please.
Okay, Charlie, you're obviously subbing in for Harry tonight. His prediction was third. So would you be sticking or twisting on that one?
I think we'll get fourth. I think the biggest issue I've got is we're not consistent enough to be third. Now, saying that, Hearts haven't exactly been consistent up until now. They've went on a really, like, take my hat off to them, they've went on a really good run of form. And I hope for Hibs' sake that Shanklin does go in January, because that means that we've probably got a wee foot up to try and catch them. But I think fourth, I think if we can do the business smart this window, then I think there's no reason why we can't get fourth. I think consistency-wise, though, is the biggest question for me. Get a bit of consistency, there's no reason why we can't finish fourth and push for third.
I know, that seems fair enough. Right, okay. Last but not least, Michael, we did mention earlier you were joining us a wee bit later on. You have been here, but just intently listening. Celtic, I mean, not so long ago in crisis, they'd lost two games in a row in their league. But then they win the game that counts in New Year. What's your thoughts so far on what's been happening at Celtic this season?
Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone. I don't know when to stop saying Happy New Year, maybe the 24th of December as well. But yeah, I mean, look, John, it's been a funny season. It's been kind of like up and down. We finished the season in a good run of games. Livingston, St Mirren, and some team called Rangers across the road. But no, I mean, it was really disappointing against Kamalok. You know, the second time we been down there, got beat. To be honest, we should have won that game in the first half. Never took our chances. But Kamalok was right in our faces for the whole of the second half. I don't think Celtic never came out for the second half. I think they went for a curry pie and forgot to come out for the second half. Hearts game, well, I don't know what was got the biggest booze, Hearts or Santa get booed at half time. I would never boo Santa, because Santa always comes to me. By the way, I still believe in Santa. And miracles do happen against the Rangers game. I was feeling the worst because they were picking up a bit of form under Philip Clement. But again, Rangers and aren't hitting the heights that they were a few years ago before Michael Beale came in. And I think in the podcast I get a bit before, I think that I've not saw Rangers playing a decent 90-minute performance. But anyway, so, but yeah, I mean, hopefully we will kick on now in the second half of the season.
I think that game is important as well, because obviously Rangers were knocking on the door. If Rangers had won that game, then there's a wee bit more uncertainty. I think still, what now think there could be a title race. Celtic are obviously going to have some players missing as well in January, because you've got Maeda away, you've got Hatate. I know you've coped with Hatate a wee bit because he's been injured. You've got you're worried about Hatate, but the other ones, I mean, Tilio doesn't count because he's not been fit anyway. He's away with Australia. And Yang as well. So I know he's been a bit hit and miss, but it does make you a wee bit shorter in numbers. What are you expecting now, Indo? Because obviously we've spoken before. a lot of teams haven't done much business yet or looked at any players. Obviously, there's an advantage of the fact we've got this gap between the Scottish Cup starting again, and then the league. What are you expecting from Rodgers or the recruitment team this window?
Weeks ago, like, if you spoke to the Celtic fan, they would be saying a goalkeeper, definitely. And I thought, like, they were a bit too harsh in Joe Hart, but I mean, I think after the Hearts game, I think Joe Hart's confidence is gone. As well, plus he's getting on in age. Going to get him wrong, he's got a good goalkeeper, but I think he's lost a lot of confidence as well. I still think we need a striker and a kind of left right back as well. Left back and right back, as well. Because as I mean, Angie was right when he was here that you've got to sign two players for every kind of like position and all that, you know. But I mean, going back to what you were saying about the Rangers game, like, I think that we had to win that one because you know yourself, John, if you get beaten in the last game, it's like 3 weeks to go shopping and know whether about football and because of the winter break and stuff like that.
How do you still able to afford going shopping in January after Christmas?
Well, I'm at the pound shop. There's good deals on at KFC and McDonald's and all that as well at the moment. But it's a long time to wait before the next game. I was quite happy, but I mean, we'll see what happens in the kind of window. It's going to be quite interesting actually, because when Postecoglou was here, he got all of his signings done by basically October. But I think because Peter Lawwell's back now, then it's back to, you know, Celtic will get one or two signings in the last game of the window. I think Peter Lawwell kind of like slows things up a wee bit, you know. Hopefully not. But we'll see. I think we're only missing Peter Lawwell's wife there at the moment because obviously his son's there and Peter's there. So I guess Lentford's wife could come on the board. Yeah, exactly. I think you could maybe put on a better performance as well. But no, I mean, yeah, kind of up and down season so far, John. I mean, in terms of like the game we played against, you know, Hibs, St Johnstone, the Bears and the last. At the game in Parkhead that Stevie Main came on and they scored. Against Hibs, we've done well. Charlie, we got Glee, but Celtic going to Skarke playing well after 70 minutes. And the game was basically the game was over by that point. So, a lot of Yeah, it's a bit of a disappointing season, but we beat Rangers twice, so I'm happy with that. But I mean, we've got to get our performance levels up again, because as I say, it's been kind of the up and down.
No bad folk, is it? If you're a disappointing season, you're top of the league. Laurie, Anas, Charlie, what do you think in terms of will it be Celtic or Rangers that win the league?
Let me. That's a question and a half, isn't it? Laurie, do you want to answer that?
All right, yeah, I'll answer the million-dollar question first. And I'll probably end up sitting on the fence. Or no, I'll be honest. If I was to go in my gut, I would say Celtic will do it. Albeit, it feels like this year, because of how Clement came in and done pretty well for Rangers, who knows, there might have to be a title race. You don't know. It's hard to tell. I think it also depends whether Rangers obviously go on a run in Europe or not. Almost, if they don't go on a run in Europe, it might mean more of a title race, because I'll say it, and maybe this isn't so wrong, maybe I'm the most entitled to say it as a Kilmarnock fan, both sides of the Old Firm are beatable. I mean, you know, it can be done. And I mean, and obviously Alas as well, with having watched Hearts, you know, when it Celtic Park not so long ago, both sides of the Old Firm can be toppled. So time will tell. And also, quickly off topic, if it gives you any comfort, Michael, I don't know if I can put this on my Twitter. I didn't actually see Kelly's second goal against Celtic. Could I actually snuck out of Rugby Park, which I never do because I was on the radio basically straight after. So I didn't actually see Matty Kennedy's goal, if it gives you any comfort.
Yeah, well, I was I never saw it either, but you know, I was right bang that goal, so there you go. but yeah, so yeah. But happy new year to you and and all that. But no, I mean, I think like yeah, both sides are kind of like beatable. You know, it's been proven so far. But I think like back to your point about Rangers playing on the Sunday, I think that's given a slight advantage to Celtic, because obviously they would need to play catch up when if we're playing Saturday and if we're playing about 12 o'clock as well. So they'll always be behind us, even if it's for 24 of us or 2 of us, you know. And also they've got the game in hand, and I mean, I'm sure Charlie's got a bit to say about Hibs, because one of the games against Hibs at Easter Road, I mean, it's all right saying Rangers, oh yeah, that's 6 points. But I mean, that's shown a bit of disservice to the other teams that Rangers that are playing.
Right, okay. Fair enough. Other end, are we all in agreement then that Libby are going down? Is that the general consensus?
Yep.
Yep.
Sadly, yeah. It's a shame, because Libby are a nice club, but just don't know if they've got the strength to stay up now, which is just a bit of a shame, really.
Okay.
Who does everyone think will be 11th for the playoffs?
Oh, right. It's
St. Johnston.
It's between St. Johnston and Ross County. I'll go Ross County.
I think County as well now.
Yeah, County definitely.
I think St. Johnson.
I think Craig Levein's the most negative manager in world football. I think I they beat us, but they'll not pick up enough points to finish on top of County, I think.
And I think whoever it is that finishes the 11th, they'll be in danger as well.
Can I make one further prediction? And this is quite dangerous.
Prediction. Remember, I'll write it down here, Anas.
You go ahead and write it down. In the event Raith Rovers miss out on the championship title, I believe they'll get to the final of the playoffs, and if it is Ross County they play, they will knock Ross County out of the Premiership and take their place. So you write that down.
Okay.
Let's see what happens later this year.
I like it. I like predictions like that. The one we did see earlier that was in the chat, and wasn't actually mentioned, I don't think, on the podcast itself. But Callum Davidson get a job at Queen's Park, somehow end up in the playoffs, and then take St Johnstone out. Don't know if it could happen. Queen's Park was after going a bit of a run, but you never know in that championship what can happen.
It's not often that the team goes down in the Premier League, so interesting.
There's only been two, Hibs and Kelly.
Hibs and a Dundee one, I think.
Aye, Dundee, aye. Kelly put Dundee down, aye. Hibs and Dundee.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm glad we started a bit earlier. We did start a wee bit earlier tonight. We did run over, which I thought would probably happen. But thank you, everyone, for coming on. I know some had to drop off, but obviously their efforts are appreciated. And we will be back next week. I don't know what is happening next week yet.
First Cup preview.
Probably not. Nah.
I'm worried about mentioning it, actually. Well, maybe we just won't talk about it.
We'll go up with something. We might have a guest on. We'll see a special guest. But
it'll be a big surprise.
Yes. And happy football.
Happy football. Happy New Year.